likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans. But there are steps you can take to help beat the odds. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or go to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Rashida Ali Walsh, author and daughter of Muhammad Ali. Parkinson's disease afflicts 1 million people in the United States and Canada. My dad knows that people affected by Parkinson's disease can have meaningful and productive lives. New guidelines from the American Academy of Neurology help neurologists make early, accurate diagnoses and optimize proven and effective therapies. The guidelines also promote screening and treatment of hallucinations, depression, and dementia, which affect many people with Parkinson's disease. They help neurologists track how quickly the disease may progress and tailor treatment, which may include drugs, surgery, exercise, or physical therapy accordingly. Patients should have regular contact with a neurologist to find the correct treatment for them and to help maintain optimal quality of life. Bottom line, the guidelines help improve the care and the lives of people with Parkinson's disease. For more information on the guidelines, visit the American Academy of Neurology at AAN.com.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Hey, hon, did you know that if a loan was paid off early, you could get money back for the credit insurance?
Yeah, I think I saw a legal notice on that.
Yeah, it's on car loans and boats, appliances, lots of things.
Hmm.
If you borrowed money and the loan was paid off early, you could get money from a court settlement. To learn how to ask for a payment, exclude yourself, object, or take other steps, call 1-800-896-5685.
In today's world, car theft is all too common. The same goes for license plates and their renewal stickers. Having either one taken is more than just a hassle. It costs you time and money. Now you can protect your property and save money at the same time. The Metropolitan St. Louis Police Department will offer steering wheel clubs and license plate covers to the public at discounted prices. The sale will take place this Saturday, April 28th from 10 until 2 at the North Patrol Division, 4014 North Union Boulevard. The steering wheel clubs come in a variety of colors and styles for $11 each. License plate covers made from durable clear plastic are only $5 per set. As a bonus, the first 50 people that purchase license plate covers will receive a free set of anti-theft fasteners, complements of AutoZone. So do yourself a favor and spend a little now, or you might spend a lot later. That time again is 10 to 2 this Saturday, April 28th, at the North Patrol Division, 4014 North Union Boulevard, sponsored by the Metropolitan St. Louis Police Department.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
Be in the know as you're on the go with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Every one of you, my dear brothers, when you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. Join the Urban League. Join the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote.
And in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to vote? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the
welcome,
poor.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up and get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Where do we begin this morning? Wow. I don't know. I think I want to begin with what we are going to be doing this morning. It's going to be a full ride. We're going to be simulcasting with a radio station out of Philadelphia this morning. Yes, we are. We're going to be, your voices are going to be heard in Philadelphia and vice versa. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be joining the oldest African radio station in Philadelphia to talk about what's going on here, what's going on there, so you don't want to miss that radio, little piece of radio history. That's going to be in the 7:30 hour this morning. And then we're also going to be talking to Vanessa Williams. The Conference of Black Mayors is going to be putting on a presidential debate. And with all of the presidential candidates, everybody's getting in on it, and we're going to be talking to Vanessa Williams to talk about that. And we're going to be talking about also what is really organic and what the government is really doing, where the government is spending its money. And it ain't organic, let me tell you that. So that's going to be, we're going to have a full ride this morning. Fasten your seatbelts, because that's what we do. 1-877-920-WGNU. Pat.
Yes, Liz, I like your thing.
All right.
Listen, someone called me and told me that the St. Louis American don't like your politics. I said, she got it right there.
Yes, okay. Indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, I they're listening. And the fact of the matter is, show me where I'm wrong.
That's right.
Show me where I'm wrong.
Point it out,
so
baby.
Point it out, baby. Because where is it at? Because the fact of the matter is that when you listen to the show, here's the thing, Pat, and I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about any other radio show in the city of St. Louis that has nearly 1,000 guests throughout the course of the year. Someone that people in politics, if you have a person like a Senator Claire McCaskill who's spending an hour every week on the show, when you have, and then gets elected, and then you have a person like a Lewis Reed who spends an hour a week on the show and then gets elected, when you have school board candidates and school board issues that are moving forward and being elected, you know, tell me where I'm wrong. Just tell me where I'm wrong and tell me. Okay. I'm just asking. All right, Pat.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1 877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me, because we have much business to tend to. There is an investigation that is going on up in Congress. It seems like everywhere we turn, there's another hearing taking place. It's a whole lot of stuff to uncover after 6 years of just imagine, just think about it this way. How long would it take you to clean the house if you let four-year-olds run it for 6 years? You didn't pick up after them. You didn't clean up after them. You didn't check up after them. How long do you think it would take to clean the house? That's what we have going on in Washington. Yeah, there are a lot of hearings going on. There's a lot of stuff to be cleaned up. A hearing going on in looking into the military response to and what the mother is saying is a cover-up. And I cannot help but agree with the mother of Pat Tillman that the military burned his uniform. Why'd they burn his uniform? Oh, yeah, all those bullet holes in it from his fellow soldiers. Did you all know that Pat Tillman's brother was a member of the same troop as those who killed his brother? Did y'all know that? And the one soldier who was told to report to Tillman's family about what happened was told not to tell him that it was friendly fire. And that soldier went AWOL. Did you know that? Well, there's an investigation going on Capitol Hill right now looking into how the military presented the story of Pat Tillman and also Jessica Lynch. You remember her? First war hero. No. No, she wasn't. She's the first one that this administration created into a hero in order to push this war forward. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. It's going to be a lively discussion this morning. Lots and lots and lots of folks. Lots of issues, lots of stories. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and Highway 79. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Got some delays. Northbound 270 north of 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and Graham Hanley. Traffic is building this hour. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270. Heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street. And in the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got delays, especially in the left lanes. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue and the 5570 split is slow, but it's moving. Westbound 70 between Bercher and Riverview. That accident's been cleared at Riverview, so traffic's still building at the Sour. And westbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Lindbergh. Look for an accident left lanes block that's at Lindbergh. So expect some delays. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly sunny to becoming mostly cloudy, 50% chance of rain and thunderstorms today with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Locally heavy rainfall is possible at times, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms, locally heavy rainfall with a high in the lower 70s. Pretty much through Thursday, showers and thunderstorms with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 55 degrees under cloudy skies at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 59. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The University of Missouri St. Louis presents an informational health and home fair on Saturday from 10 to 2. It takes place at the Afton White Rogers Community Center on McKenzie Road. The free event will feature seminars and health screenings. Transportation to and from the fair is available upon request. To find out more, call 314-516-6066. News for your health from AM 920.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big-boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me. We need to, you know what, it is time to engage in an activity that will move us to other places. Let's do this. Let us do what I've been talking about all this morning. We're going to do. We're going to join Bill and Cody Anderson in Philadelphia at WURD. Bill and Cody, good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you all?
Good. We're working out the kinks of transitioning this whole thing.
I understand through the magic of technology.
It's a wonderful thing.
What's the weather like in Philly?
It's absolutely gorgeous.
Is it really?
It is. It's 60 degrees and sunny, going up to about 75, 76 today.
Well, I like that.
How about in St. Louis?
Well, you know, the sun's coming up and it's unclear. We're not certain how the day is going to end. They're talking about rain, but it doesn't look like it yet.
Liz, I got to tell you, this is Cody Anderson, and I'm from Chicago, and this young guy talks about us from the Midwest being country. So we're going to have to educate him a little bit.
Absolutely.
Get him a pop.
Absolutely. Get him straight.
Now, we're doing something new here, folks. We've got 920 AM WGNU in St. Louis, 900 AM WURD in Philadelphia, bringing together two what we think are great morning programs to kind of interact and link the audience. Sounds like a good idea in planning, right?
Absolutely. And it's a good idea in theory, too, because you know what? A lot of our issues are the same. We just don't hear the specifics of them.
Well, let's hear some of those specifics.
Well, we have a story that's going on here in the city of St. Louis that I think is just reprehensible. We have now the city of St. Louis is comprised of about a little over 50% people of African descent. We have a white mayor. We have a white police chief. We have a white president of the board of police commissioners. A couple of black folks on the board. Not too long ago, you know, I'm certain you all know about the World Series and that the St. Louis Cardinals won the World Series.
Yeah, we knew a little something about
that. You know a little something about that. Well, apparently we had some police officers that were very excited about the idea of the Cardinals playing in the World Series, so excited that they took some tickets from some scalpers. And the tickets that they got, they took under the guise of, well, you all are scalping these tickets. We need to take these tickets from you. Well, some of the folks weren't scalping the tickets. They were just trying to sell them for face value. So those people gave up those tickets. But when they went to the stands, after they'd given the other tickets to the police officers, they, lo and behold, there was somebody sitting in their seats.
Probably police officers.
Yeah, well, see, and therein lies the question. There are all kinds of theories out there of who the people were that were sitting in the seats of these World Series games. But what is so interesting is that the chief of police said that, first he said that this behavior was reprehensible. And then he decided, well, they haven't committed any crime. The prosecuting attorney said, well, they really haven't committed a crime. I can't do anything to them. So all that's going to happen to these police officers is that the police officers are going to lose their rank for a year, and then they'll get their rank back.
Now, here's where I started to get in trouble with the country reference.
Uh-huh. Oh, see, don't go there.
I had to. I don't know about in St. Louis, but in Philadelphia, stealing is a crime.
You know, and here's the other piece of it. I had the president of the Black Police Officers Association on my show, and he talked about how there was one young black police officer who switched some tags on a vehicle, a police vehicle, to his vehicle, you know, to make it a current tag, and they fired him. I understand that. Stealing is stealing. But the point that the president, Eddie Simmons, said was that he went to the same police chief, and he said, you know, he made a mistake, he didn't mean it, and he's a good cop, we should let him, you know, give him a chance on this. And the chief said, stealing is stealing is stealing. And the president of the Black Police Officers Association said, okay, I get that, you're right, stealing is stealing is stealing, but apparently it's not.
Now, that was publicized in the papers, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I'm also assuming that none of the officers in this ticket scalping scenario were African American.
There was one. there were 12 of them, and one of them was black.
That's interesting that there are no repercussions for that. I mean, it's obvious that something wrong was done. I mean, you don't know if the tickets were just taken and then sold. You don't know if the tickets were taken and then given to somebody else. But the bottom line, if they were confiscated for illegal scalping, then they certainly shouldn't have been used.
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely
pretty obvious, isn't it?
It's pretty much. I mean, it's like if I go to your house and borrow your car for 20 minutes and bring it back, it's still stealing, isn't it?
For 20 minutes?
For 20 minutes, okay. Well, it wasn't a long thievery, but but they stole it.
My bad. I ran my errands, but I brought your car back. No crime.
Okay. So, and that's the thing. The prosecuting attorney, and again, we have a prosecuting attorney who's also white, who has received thousands and thousands of emails from people saying, you need to do something. These people committed a crime. And what I've come to find out is that it may be that it wasn't the police officers that were using these tickets. That rumor has it that the police officers were directed to get these tickets and that some folks high up in politics ended up in those seats.
Oh, wow. Now, that is interesting. That's shady.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So,
were any of them in the seats?
The prosecuting attorney, it seems to me they have cameras everywhere, right? We could find out who was in those seats. We could find out with cameras who went in and took or walked in with the tickets, because the tickets are scanned, so you know exactly when the tickets were scanned by time check. So all we have to do is focus the camera on the, you know, I didn't say mayor, but somebody going in using those tickets.
What time is it there? 6:41?
It is 6:41.
6:41 on WGNU in St. Louis, 7:41 here in Philadelphia. We're joined by what we think is the top morning show in St. Louis, Liz Brown on 920 AM WGNU. Of course, Bill and Cody, WURD, 900 AM in Philadelphia. This happened last summer, though, correct?
Well, the stealing took place last summer, but the revelation of it just happened a few weeks ago.
So how did it just come up now then?
Because what happened was the scalpers finally went to the press because they didn't think that it was fair of what was happening to them, and they were trying to piece together what happened.
And they were afraid to just come right out and confront the police.
Well, absolutely. He's wearing a gun. I mean, if the cop says to you, give me your tickets, what you going to do?
It's interesting that you bring that up because we just, prior to linking up with you in St. Louis, we had a Sergeant DeLacy Davis of the African American Police Officers Association, and there's an event in Philadelphia this evening with the controversial Mumia Abu-Jamal situation.
Right.
And there will be a screening, and Danny Glover and all these individuals coming into town. And the debate that was taking place is that the police here in the city of Philadelphia, Fraternal Order of Police, have decided to protest it. And there are a lot of people who are outraged by the fact that 400 police officers with guns are going to be allowed to go out there and protest what has been such a controversial, polarizing topic.
They get to protest with their guns.
They get to protest with their guns.
And I've had DeLacy and Danny Glover, both of them in the studio and on my show before, so I'm familiar with the work that both of them do on issues like this. And I want to make a connection here. The Police Officers Association, the predominantly white police officers association here in the city of St. Louis, said that because these men have families, that there should be no punishment to them at all. They made a mistake, but there shouldn't be any punishment to them because they have families.
Well, they are consistent around the country, it seems.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Just about everybody that commits a crime has a family.
Yeah, I was about to say that's really backwards. And I'm certainly not giving a pass to individuals who commit crimes. I mean, that's not where I think any of our heads are. But certainly some level of consistency that needs to be in place. So now you have a family is what you can sit up there and say to the judge before your sentencing?
Well, that's what the mafia says, too. I got a family, too, so I should be able to do what I want to do. The fact of the matter is, don't you think, Bill, that we should, that there should be a higher standard given to those that whose jobs are to serve and to protect?
I do, and I get in trouble for that a lot. I mean, I think that there are so many things written into law that ultimately protect police officers. If somebody commits a crime against police officers, more severe and significant punishment.
There you go.
All of these things are in place. The flip side of that has to be that if they're entrusted with all this responsibility, that if they go out there and violate it and commit crimes, then there should be a more significant punishment.
That we should really make example of that, because what kind of society do we have if those that are entrusted with enforcing the law are committing crimes? What kind of society do we have?
Liz, is yours a known voice out there, or are other talk show hosts also talking about this topic?
Well, they're talking about it, but not from the perspective that I am.
That you are.
You know, not from my perspective. And you know what, I think a lot, some of it has to do with the issue of fear, that people are afraid to speak truth to power and speak truth to the wrongness engaged in by police officers. And I think that some people feel that they take a risk in doing so.
Are you from St. Louis?
I am not.
I didn't think
that's why she wasn't offended by my country comment.
That's right on.
Yeah. So she might be from Chicago.
No, actually, I'm from all over the place. My father was a colonel in the military, so we traveled all over the place.
Oh, okay. So you think St. Louis is country, too?
I did not say that.
You can't.
I did not say that.
So are we right now.
Now, folks, if you're just tuning in, it's 6:45 in St. Louis, WGNU, 9:20 a.m., 7:45 here in Philadelphia. 900 AM WURD. We are joined by the best, we're simulcasting actually, with the best talk program in St. Louis, Ms. Liz Brown. We, of course, Bill and Cody Anderson on WURD. And just kind of sharing information in the two cities, ultimately talking about controversial issues with police departments.
And Liz, for the record and for the listening audience in St. Louis, I spent a lot of years there. I used to consult and manage a couple radio stations there. St. Louis is a wonderful town.
And I was reading your resume on your website, and it took me all day. I mean, you have done everything. Your experience within the radio industry is just really remarkable.
I'm old.
there's two ways to look at everything. What's the can people listen to your show on the internet?
Yes, they can at WGNU.net.
Okay, and we're 900 AM WURD.com. And until we figure out ways to kind of do this regularly, maybe we can be supportive of each other's listening audience and continue to keep these updates flowing. I think it's good.
Absolutely.
Everyone. So other than that particular issue, which, well, I guess even before we get off of that issue, by talking about it and talking about the police, and you pretty much implied that you're a lone voice on this topic, have you felt any of the heat or backlash?
Well, one of the things that one of the areas normally where the backlash comes is there is a website that the police officers go to and they talk. It's called Cop Talk. And that's where the police officers go, and they make these snarly comments about me or about the show or about the issues that we talk about on the show. And what is so fascinating, and to me, is an indictment about how the police officers really feel about this issue. Normally, the Cop Talk has all of these website had all of these comments from angry police officers about those cops getting off like this. In fact, they started to make comments that got close to the place of, we know who that the cops were actually ordered to do so from somebody higher up, and that other people are responsible for this, but the fact of the matter is that these cops should have been punished. What's so interesting is that the webmaster of Cop Talk took off all of the comments about this issue. Nobody is allowed to comment on cops, so Cop Talks can't Cop Talk.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's the ongoing pressure that Sergeant Davis was just talking about with us, Lacey Davis, and what you were talking about. You know, it's individuals ultimately with badges who are taking it upon themselves to not only, you know, influence public thought, but, you know, with some sort of authority and power.
Exactly.
And silence the voices of individuals. Let's say 99% joking, talking about country St. Louis, because we appreciate so much the listening audience. I want to make sure people know that's a joke. But the flip side of that is Philadelphia right now is being nationally viewed because of the violence in the city and the murder rate and trying to come up with solutions to it. What ultimately is the impression of cities like St. Louis and the Midwest about Philadelphia and the East Coast?
Well, the East Coast, the way that people look at that, people from, at least from this part of town, they look at it kind of like the picture that's painted of St. Louis, that it's an urban city, that it's a city of lots of black folks, and it's a city that has a crime problem. And the other issue that I'd like to talk about, if we have a second, are the schools. Because that's the that's the area, that's the institution that is under assault. So you have the same rap as we do.
That is true.
You know, because we have a city that the state of Missouri has, well, the mayor of the city of St. Louis has decided that because he cannot control the hundreds of millions of dollars of money in our budget, he wants the state to take over and allow the state to run the St. Louis Public Schools, the largest school district in the state.
We beat you to it.
How'd that work out for y'all?
We beat you to it. It's a couple years ago now when Philadelphia was dealing with similar problems. They couldn't get the proper funding, and it was proposed ultimately a bipartisan effort to have to form a school reform commission and then have the state essentially come in and take over the schools as well. Test scores have slowly increased, but there hasn't been anything so significant that indicates it's the way to go. And now, as we're facing a mayoral election, probably four of the five major candidates are trying to do something to put control back in the hands of the city.
We're in the process of losing another school superintendent. So at the end of this year, he will be leaving. I think he's been here, what, four years? Go ahead.
One of the things that has happened here in the city of St. Louis is that we had a race for school board candidates, and for one time and one time only, four candidates were allowed to run at the same time. The law has since been changed, because when four candidates are allowed to run at the same time and basically run on a slate, they get majority control of the board. These were the mayor's candidates about 3 years ago. They took control of the board. They brought in a consultant and paid him $6 million to run the St. Louis Public Schools.
Oh.
$6 million to a guy who can't even spell education, who the former CEO of Brooks Brothers.
How do you really feel about that guy?
I'm sorry. I wasn't clear.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we do have an elected school board. So now, 3 years later, 4 years later, they're trying to change they are attempting in the legislature to take away the elective part of the school board by putting in place a three-person board that runs the school district. So you can run for a school board position, but it won't make any difference because there are three people that will be controlling the board
that are appointed.
Exactly.
That is part of the state control.
And to just so that you can get a feel of the emptiness of this, or the fact that they're really not trying to fix the school system, the governor has appointed a guy, and we have a Republican governor, and we have a Democrat mayor in the city of St. Louis. The governor has appointed a white guy who lives in West County, which is a very wealthy area, who's never been in the city of St. Louis, a white guy who owns the largest building development in the state of Missouri. So what on earth does he know about education?
He's a member of that three-panel board?
Yeah, he's the CEO of it. He's the CEO of it. So whoever else is going to be on there will have no role, because the CEO decides everything.
See, we're going to have to flip a coin to see who's more backwards, Philadelphia or St. Louis. Not sure. And we've already, again, you know, beat you to it. Not that that's necessarily a good thing. We have appointed as well, of all the different districts across the state, there is one that is not elected, and that's Philadelphia.
Mm.
We have folks who are tuning in. We're simulcasting. It's a great opportunity for us to talk to both the WGNU listening audience, 920 AM in St. Louis. We're joined by the great host, Miss Liz Brown.
And I'm joined by the great hosts, Bill and Cody Anderson, WURD in Philly.
And we're going to do it again and again.
Absolutely.
And again.
Absolutely. And I was wondering, out there in Philadelphia, how does the community respond to the school, the way that the schools have been taken over? What are the grassroots folks saying?
Initially, there was a huge fight,
mm-hmm.
because initially when it started, there was a for-profit education management company that was coming in that was supposed to take over the entire district.
Mm-hmm.
And then individuals got into a big political fight, and so there are several private management companies that have several schools. Since that time, it has died down a little bit. You have pockets of very vocal opposition to the whole concept of the state control. But for the most part, People have calmed down a little bit because you see some test score improvements, but ultimately, you know, as I'm sure it is in St. Louis, the passionate groups that are always advocating on behalf of the students are the ones who have continued to remain vocal.
And the underlying discussions are still African history studies in the classrooms, which we now have that's mandated. The discussions are also who's educating our children. Are they being miseducated? Those things are still very much so discussed on a regular basis. And now we have charter schools. I don't know. Do you have charters?
We have charter schools, and they are an abysmal failure. And again, when you look at the studies all across the country, charter schools, from my perspective, should either do it better or do it the same and do it cheaper. And the charter schools don't do that. And at least none of the numbers that have been used to evaluate the charter schools here in the city of St. Louis. And there are only two places where charter schools are allowed to be formed in the state of Missouri, in Kansas City and in St. Louis, the places where they're the largest population of children of African descent. So those are the only two places where they're allowed to experiment like this, and the experiments have been dismal failures.
See, in Philadelphia, it hasn't been, I mean, it runs a scale, because we have a handful of charter schools that are being, you know, first throughout the state, but nationally recognized for their excellence in education. Then you have others that are not even keeping par with what the district is doing right now. So it's tough to kind of step out there and establish, you know, a evaluation of charter schools as a whole. You know, you have to do it on kind of an individual basis. But our statistics demonstrate exactly what you're saying, that if you look at it in general terms and average it out, there's nothing that indicates charter schools are doing significantly better than the district.
And then you have to measure what is lost as a result of the implementation of the charter schools. Here in the city of St. Louis, the public schools pay for the charter schools. The charter schools do not have to have certified teachers like the public schools have to have. The charter schools do not have to be transparent like the public schools have to be. So as a result of it, not only have the charter schools failed the kids academically, but they've also failed them financially as well, because there's no transparency. We've had charter schools shut down in the city of St. Louis due to corruption and the fact that the money is missing or misappropriated.
Has vouchers been a discussion in St. Louis?
It's like the whole war took place at once. So instead of like little skirmishes, the entire every issue for people that are passionate about public schools have been instigated at the same time. There's a battle going on in Jefferson City right now on the issue of charters, on the issue of vouchers, trying to only they're calling them tax credits, as opposed to they're trying to change the name, like No Child Left Behind, where every child is left behind. That type of a thing. So there's a battle going on right now. They have been trying that for about 4 years now, and they've been unsuccessful up in Jefferson City, because they have to get the legislation up there. It has to be done there first.
Yeah, there's a bit of a voucher battle that takes place, you know, each election. When the election cycle comes around, then another group of individuals will start talking about vouchers. But the problem here in the city of Philadelphia has been what sounds like similar to most places across the country, and also in St. Louis, is that when people start proposing vouchers, nobody is proposing full funding.
Well, and you know what else? To me, what is so interesting, Bill and Cody, is the fact that there's one question that isn't raised either. There's always a presumption that a private school is better. And what is not asked is that, okay, well, let me see the number of graduates that come out of every private school. Let me see the number of certified teacher in every private school. Let me see the kids in private school taking the same tests that the kids in public schools are taking, and how do they do on those tests? We never get a chance to compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges. Instead, there's the presumption that if it's private, it's better.
let me ask you, Liz, what is the racial demo of St. Louis and of the public schools?
The public schools are about 87%, 83 to 87% are children of African descent.
And what about the population in St. Louis?
The population is about 55% people of African descent.
In St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have an African-American mayor.
We do not. We don't have an African-American police chief. We don't have an African-American. But we recently just elected the very first president of the Board of Aldermen. Our city is governed with a board of E&A and three people. The comptroller, the president of the Board of Aldermen, and the mayor comprise those three people that vote on all the budgetary issues. And our comptroller is a woman of African descent, and we now have a president of the Board of Aldermen, Lewis Reed, who is of African descent.
And what about the makeup of the school board?
The school board is, we have one, two, three people? Yeah, three people that are of African descent on the school board.
Out of?
Seven.
And St. Louis is 55%
that
black?
Is...
And, you know,
say it again.
We're going to have to do this again and get updates on information because we're running up against the clock.
Yes,
I know in both cities. But we're facing something similar here in the city of Philadelphia in that we have the majority of the population are people of color. Not the majority is arguably not African American,
okay.
But combined with people of color, the majority are people of color here. And you have a situation where in our upcoming mayoral election, you have three very qualified African American candidates. One white candidate who everybody would view as qualified because of his background in politics and unions and what have you, and one businessman who's relatively unknown but has the most money.
There you go.
And right now he's leading the pack. You have a situation where people are wondering whether so many qualified candidates splits the vote.
Will split
so
the
much
vote,
that
and
an
he'll
individual
walk.
Who probably has no business being mayor is the one who ends up with the seat.
And we're gonna have to. I gotta go, guys. Bill and Cody Anderson, WURD in Philadelphia, AM 900. Thank you so much. This was fun.
Thank you. We got to do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
You have a good one.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back after the news. Stay with me.
And at least 16 pets dead. Hundreds more were sickened.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Is the Pentagon manufacturing war hero stories? A House committee will hear from Army Private Jessica Lynch, who was held captive early in the Iraq War. She says the Pentagon exaggerated details of her rescue, but she's not angry about it.
I had a great time in the military. You know, I had an opportunity to serve our country. What better opportunities do you get in life than to serve our country?
And the panel will also hear from the family of NFL player turned Army Ranger Pat Tillman, who was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. His death was first reported as a casualty of a Taliban attack. At least 9 U.S. service members are dead, 20 wounded after the deadliest attack on American troops in Iraq since December of 2005, an attack in the Diyala province.
Since the surge began, commanders there say that the violence has gotten worse. There is Al-Qaeda there, Sunni insurgents battling Al-Qaeda in some cases, battling Shiites, and a lot of Shiite militia as well in Diyala, they believe have fled Baghdad as the surge has taken hold in the capital.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad. Big news for Toyota, bad news for the big three. The Japanese car maker accelerated into the number one spot in the car sales business, selling 2.3 million cars January to March compared to General Motors' 2.2 million. Toyota's hybrids are doing especially well. More rough weather in the Midwest, including reports of tornadoes in Kansas. This is ABC News.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
800-296-3006. 800-296-3006.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt.
800-296-3006. 800-296-3006. 800-296-3006.
Depending on your age, you may or not be familiar with his name, but chances are you know David Halberstam's work. The Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist was killed in a car wreck recently in California.
One of the things that changed the way America looked at the Vietnam War was Halberstam's 1972 book, The Best and the Brightest. It told how some of the best informed and most well-intentioned people in Washington were unable to predict what would happen in Vietnam. Though he was criticized by supporters of the war for the coverage that won him a Pulitzer Prize, the criticism never soured him on America.
It's a terrific country. Listen, this is a big, strong, vibrant country with great levels of personal freedom, affluence, economic opportunity. We are the freest country in the world.
And one David Halberstam chronicled for all of his adult life. Gil Gross, ABC News.
Seems a lot of people still want to be Hokies. Virginia Tech officials say only 5 of the 13,000 incoming freshmen say they don't want to go to school there after last week's shootings. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, another local school district could be losing its accreditation. The Missouri State Department of Education says it may recommend that the Riverview Gardens District be stripped of its accreditation. The district's former superintendent, Henry Williams, was recently charged with stealing from the district. A state audit revealed that district leaders had mismanaged hundreds of thousands of dollars. State officials also say that low test scores and infighting among school board members were factors in their decision. If the district loses accreditation, district officials will have 2 years to attempt to gain it back. A Lime man is dead after being electrocuted while trimming trees. 35-year-old Hamel Basirovic was helping a friend at an Afton home in the 6100 block of Staley on Sunday afternoon. A branch that was being cut from a tree came into contact with the power line. The wire snapped, electrocuting Basirovic and instantly killing him. Finally this hour, Illinois miners have discovered the remains of a rainforest in eastern Illinois. Coal miners have found fossils over the past few years at a pair of mines in Vermilion County east of Champaign. The Illinois State Geological Survey says it's not unusual for fossilized plant matter to be found in coal mines. However, enough fossils have been found at the two sites to indicate that the rainforest was big enough to cover a large city. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 270, Doherty Ferry and Big Bend. Look for an accident, Big Bend. And traffic is building at this hour. Northbound 270, Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked. That's at Doherty Ferry. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 55 between 3200 South Broadway and 44. Heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slowdowns. Westbound 270 from 367 through New Florissant. Look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from Ballas through McKnight. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns, especially in the left-hand lanes. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, look for heavy volume in the 70 exit lanes. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, is starting to slow a bit. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing, look for heavy volume there, and heavy volume from 64 westbound from Bowell Avenue into the 5570 merge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies this morning, mostly cloudy by this afternoon, chance of rain throughout the day with a high in the upper 70s this evening. Occasional showers and thunderstorms are likely. Locally, heavy rainfall is possible with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, pretty much the same, showers and thunderstorms with a high in the lower 70s. Wednesday evening, showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid-50s. And Thursday, showers and a chance of thunderstorms with a high in the mid-60s. Currently, we have 55 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 60. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
the truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Wow. I think that there's a danger. Let me put it this way. There's a danger. Because a lot of us know about some of the issues that have happened. But some of us, or the challenge to all of us, let me put it that way, the challenge to all of us is to figure out how deep the rabbit hole goes. That's the challenge to all of us. How deep does the rabbit hole go? I'm going to get to some of you all on the lines that want to talk, but when I come back, I want to talk to you about something that I know you've heard, but you don't know how deep it takes us down the rabbit hole. I reported on this show how Alberto Gonzalez and Karl Rove used a Republican service for their internet. They took it off the White House server and picked up one that the Republican Party had. And, oops, we can't find any of the emails. I know that a lot of you know that story, but you don't know how far that story takes us down the rabbit hole. And I'm going to share that information with you after the break, but let me get to a couple of callers here. Max.
Yeah, good morning. You mentioned earlier, you were talking about the consultancy firm Alvarez & Marsal, headed up by Mr. Bill Roberti.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that, and I recall that figure, $6 million, but it was $6 million plus expenses.
That's correct.
And if you remember Mr. Roberti and his folks, they didn't stay in Motel 6.
They did not. They didn't rent a house.
Right. They did not find a house that would have been more reasonable than where they stayed, the room service, et cetera. Now, this was somewhat reported, but I want to compare it with a story, and you might not recall this, but you recall about, 7-8 years ago, there was a situation with some billing having to do with box lunches for different events. Do you remember that?
For teachers?
For teachers.
Right.
Box lunches for, like, conferences,
right.
Meetings, et
right.
cetera, things where teachers would have to stay after. And I think they had some – it was from the former what was that real nice cafeteria on Lindell Avenue, the Salad Bowl.
The Salad Bowl.
Do you remember how people lost their minds over that one?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And I think you pose an interesting – I'm changing subjects here. It's not going to get done, unfortunately, and I don't think the Cardinals would cooperate. But it would be interesting. I would not be surprised if every entry area in that stadium – has security tapes.
They just built the place. So you know that there are security tapes, or security cameras all over the place.
And the Cardinals being the Cardinals probably keep them for over a season or two.
They have to.
And so, yes, it would be very easy since they're scanned into the system, but that would require cooperation on the Cardinals' part.
It wouldn't require cooperation on their part. Let us start where it's supposed to start.
Oh, you mean like a subpoena if we had a prosecuting attorney?
Exactly. It would require fortitude and concern and a belief in lawfulness on the part of a circuit attorney, and we have none of that in Jennifer Joyce.
Well, let's not hold our breaths for that one.
Thanks for your call.
Good morning.
Max. Listen, folks, my name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations. In today's world, car theft is all too common. The same goes for license plates and their renewal stickers. Having either one taken is more than just a hassle. It costs you time and money. Now you can protect your property and save money at the same time. The Metropolitan St. Louis Police Department will offer steering wheel clubs and license plate covers to the public at discounted prices. The sale will take place this Saturday, April 28th from 10 until 2 at the North Patrol Division, 4014 North Union Boulevard. The steering wheel clubs come in a variety of colors and styles for $11 each. License plate covers made from durable clear plastic are only $5 per set. As a bonus, the first 50 people that purchase license plate covers will receive a free set of anti-theft fasteners, complements of AutoZone. So do yourself a favor and spend a little now, or you might spend a lot later. That time again is 10 to 2 this Saturday, April 28th, at the North Patrol Division, 4014 North Union Boulevard, sponsored by the Metropolitan St. Louis Police Department.
Praise the Lord, St. Louis. This is Elder Ernest Doris, yours truly, doing my duty, live in the loo on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. It's the Highway to Heaven radio broadcast every Saturday at 8:30 in the AM. So tune in for the latest church news and the best gospel music in town.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith. We'll see me through. Let me tell you, I'm all alone.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Did the most powerful Republicans in America have the computer capacity, software skills, and electronic infrastructure in place on election night 2004 to tamper with the Ohio results to ensure George W. Bush's reelection? Did they? Did the most powerful Republicans in America have the computer capacity, the software skills, the electronic infrastructure in place on election night to tamper with the Ohio results to ensure Boy George's reelection? Apparently, yes. Check it out. On election night, 2004, Ohio's official Secretary of State website, which gave the world the presidential election results, was redirected from an Ohio government server to a group of servers that contained scores of Republican websites, including the secret White House email accounts that have come out in the scandal surrounding Alberto Gonzalez's firing of 8 federal prosecutors. Are you with me? Are you chilled to the bone? Recent revelations have documented that the Republican National Committee, that's the RNC, ran a secret White House email system for Karl Rove and dozens of White House staffers. This high-tech system was used to count and report the 2004 presidential vote. From the serving hosting contracts to the software writing services to the remote access capability to the actual server uses logs themselves. You think we need another investigation? Think about this. The Secretary of State from Ohio, you remember him, Ken Blackwell. He ran for governor, and how'd that work out for him? It didn't. His website Now, that's an official Ohio State website. Serviced by an official Ohio State server. His website was directed to an RNC server. It's a big deal. This is a big deal. Now, how did this happen? Well, in order for this to happen, for those of you that are not technophobes out there, that you don't know what's how it works in the computer world, let us begin with the understanding that for anything to happen, you have to have software. And everything depends upon the integrity of those that are writing your software. Or at least it starts with the integrity of those that are writing your software. The software created for the Ohio Secretary of State's election night website was created by GovTech Solution. Who is that? It's a firm co-founded by GOP computing guru Mike Connell. Mike Connell also redesigned the Bush campaign website in 2000 and told a magazine in 1999, "I wouldn't be where I am today without the Bush campaign and the Bush family, because the Bushes truly care about family and I'm loyal to my network." So we have a guy writing the software for the Ohio State Secretary of State election night website. A guy just like Alberto Gonzalez, who's loyal to, completely, and is owned by, George Bush. Now, where do we go from there? Well, let's go to Ohio's Cedarville University. Who is Ohio, or what is Ohio Cedarville University? It's a Christian school with 3,100 students. They issued a press release on January 13, 2005, describing how one of their faculty members, a Dr. Alan Dillman, he has a computing company called Government Consulting Resources. They released a press release talking about how Dr. Alan Dillman's consulting company worked with these Republican-connected companies to count the votes on election night 2004. According to this press release, Dillman personally led the effort for the GCR side, teaming with key members of Blackwell's staff. They teamed with key members such as GovTech Solutions, which performed the software development to deliver the end result. Smart Tech provided the backup and additional system capacity. Mercury Interactive performed the stress testing. So let me try to break this down in language that y'all can understand. On election 2004, the Republican Party not only controlled the vote counting process in Ohio. Oh, by the way, this was the final presidential swing state. The Republican Party controlled the vote counting process in Ohio through a Secretary of State who was co-chair of the Bush campaign, but the Republican Party also controlled the technology that allowed the tally of the vote in Ohio's 88 counties to be reported to the media and the voters. So if the Republican Party had control of this, do you think they'd cheat? Ohio was the state that delivered it to Bush. Do you think they'd cheat to win? Do you think they'd cheat to win? Let me say it again. On election night 2004, the Republican Party not only controlled the vote counting process in Ohio, they controlled it through a Secretary of State who was a co-chair of the Bush campaign, and the Republican Party also controlled the technology that allowed the tally of the vote in Ohio's 88 counties to be reported to the media and voters. Are you clear yet? Are you clear yet? 1-877-920-WGNU. Oh, and John Kerry, given the opportunity to exercise his right as a recount, didn't ask for a recount in Ohio. But the Green Party did. They raised $15,000 to pay Ohio to conduct the count. 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Hey, Liz.
Yes?
That was a special on HBO about the, how they tallied the votes. And they showed on there where the vice president of the vote at that time had guaranteed the state of Ohio a year before the election to George Bush in the election count, when they counted the vote. That was on HBO.
I know. The woman that was in the movie has been on the show numerous times.
Okay.
Yep,
okay.
So absolutely.
I wasn't sure if you were familiar with that or not.
Got it. Thanks for that call, though.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. We're taking a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 between 55 and Doherty Ferry. Stop and go traffic due to an earlier accident at Doherty Ferry. Southbound 367 from Parker through 270. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and McKnight. Look for some delays. Northbound 270 from Dorset 370. Look for slow traffic in the exit lanes. Actually, it's very heavy in these 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, look for heavy volume there as well. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170, look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some delays. Westbound 270 from 367 through New Florissant, look for some slowdowns. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from 3200 Broadway through 44, look for heavy volume as well. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, you've got some heavy volume, especially around the 270 exchange. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, you've got some slowdowns. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, look for some delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto through 55, look for some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the bank into the landing. And westbound 64 from 5570 all the way back through Bow Avenue, look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly sunny today, becoming mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers today with a high in the 70s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms, low in the lower 60s for Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same. Showers and thunderstorms both days, highs in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 58 degrees under clouds, Lambert Fields reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Rasta Resolution, removing the pollution and bringing you the musical solution with Rasilos right here, WGNU Radio.
King Silos, a culture nationalist. Rasta Resolutions airs every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night on WGNU Rasta Resolutions.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Previously on the Slow Ranger program,
how come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. So the Republican Party, it appears, had the ability, the opportunity, the means to count the votes cast in Ohio. Count the votes that were voted in Ohio during the presidential election. I'm telling you, the the internet, it's a 1-877-920-WGNU. Thomas.
Yes, sir. Ms. Brown, how you doing?
Thomas, I am outstanding. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, I've been listening this morning. I went across my radio, and everybody talking about Christ, you know, all these white preachers and stuff and everything going. You know, when something happened, I think now you and all of you black red talk show hosts and people now are beginning to hit the right track, because white folks like me, they get nervous like this. But you know, when Clay come out years ago and said that Muslim was 11-1 to Christianity?
Okay,
when he said that, boy, white folk went crazy then trying to get the people about to leave the letter. I forgot what it's called. I think it's called the letter to everybody about Christianity. They're getting really uncomfortable now. Now, it's a black man could be a president, or a woman could be a president of the United States. And now the white male really is getting uncomfortable. I think y'all are really on the right road.
Thanks for your call, Thomas.
Yes, ma'am.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, I know your listening audience have been hearing on the news about all the dogs and cats that have been poisoned. But, you know, I haven't heard PETA or the Humane Society call a press conference to to discuss the matter. Now, I think there's also, seems like it might be a little cover-up, because actually I've heard reports that there was as many as 35,000, mostly cats and dogs, that were poisoned by some substance called melamine. Now, they say they put this melamine in the food to make more of a protein contact to the product. And they have the pets that were sick, when their owners took them to the vet and the vet gave them some medicine or what have you, when the pets were brought back home by the owners not knowing where the poison came from, they were like force-feeding their pets the poison all over again. That's why so many of them died. And I've heard reports that this melamine has been put into grain that has been sent to Africa. And it's also been reports that this melamine was found in pig urine. So I don't know what's going on, but it might be in more than just the pet food, because they've been putting this in grain to increase the protein in these products. There may be some danger to humans.
Well, one of the stories that I've read about this is that it was intentional, that somebody did this on purpose, that it just didn't happen to get in there, that there was some intentionalness to this. I don't know. The complete story has not come out yet. And to me, the intentional part makes the most sense, that somebody just went and did this.
And why do you think that they're trying to cover up the amount of the deaths? Because you hear it talks about 18 or 35, and it's up in the thousands. I've heard 35,000 are dead.
Well, you know, the same reason why they always try to cover up the numbers of things like that, because they don't want people to know how widespread it is.
And if they put it in the grain, I wonder, would that be intentional also?
Don't know. Thanks for your call, Christine.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Two House Republicans resigned last week. They resigned from a committee. And this resignation has serious, again, takes us right back down the rabbit hole. One, Representative Heather Wilson faces possible ethics investigation amid accusations that she pressured the now-fired U.S. Attorney David Inglesias to indict New Mexico's Democrats before last year's election. Gary Miller, the two people that, and these are the people that are resigning, is facing and is under investigation by the FBI for a series of land deals, is also facing Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee ads challenging that he lied about a land sale that he declined to pay taxes on. Representative Jerry Lewis faces FBI scrutiny of his work as House Appropriations Committee Chairman, and his campaign filings last month show that he had racked up $892,000 in legal fees. Tim Murphy, Republican of Pennsylvania, significant legal fees, $15,000, as he tries to push off accusations that he used taxpayer-funded congressional staff members and resources to do political work. Now, these are people that are resigning from the Ethics Committee. Why? Because they have lingering legal and ethic questions confronting them. John Doolittle of California, Republican. Rick Renzi of Arizona said, oh, yeah, well, the FBI has come to our homes and has gone through our stuff, and we are under investigation. These are amazing days for Republicans. These are amazing days for Republicans. You think we can continue to use the phrase culture of corruption? You think we can continue to use that phrase? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to have some more folks on the Wake Up Call. In the next hour, we will be joined by the president of the Black Mayors Association. They're hosting a presidential debate, and they're hosting it, I believe it's next week. We're going to have the president, Vanessa Williams, join me on the show in the next hour. And then following that, we're in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have a discussion. We're going to go organic. And we're going to talk about some things that you don't know about how your government is weighing in on this issue. All of that on the Wake Up Call. We did a first this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. We had a conversation. We did a simulcast in Philly with a radio station, AM 900. This is AM 920. They were AM 900. And we talked to the father and son team in Philadelphia this morning, simulcast. If you missed it, go check out whiterosesociety.org. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Submissions are now being accepted for the inaugural E. Desmond Lee Playwriting Competition at UMSL. Writers must be Missouri residents or affiliated with the state in some way. Categories for submission are full-length play, one-act play, and 10-minute play. The plays must reflect an African-American perspective, and all plays must be postmarked by April 30th. Winners will be announced in October. The fee for each entry is $7 for full-length plays, $5 for one-act plays, and $3 for 10-minute plays. The fee can be paid by check or money order and should be made payable to the Center for International Studies at UMSL. Mail scripts and entry fees to the Center for International Studies, 366 SSD, MC58, One University Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63121. For more info, call 314-516-4572. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Down by the river, taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues, down into the ocean,
spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be loved for real? Do you want to be loved?
Do you want to be loved for real? My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have a much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, I think you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Don't forget that my shows are archived at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Nearly one half. One half. Let me say it again. Nearly one half of the $94 billion in emergency funding that Boy George says Congress needs to make immediately available to pay for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan would actually be used to finance non-urgent items. Okay, non-urgent items. So think about it. Bush is, and the Congress, they should be having press conferences every day to talk about the non-urgent items that are in this $94 billion request. Because Bush is telling us that we'll run out of funding this month for the U.S. troops fighting in Iraq. Huh? If we don't get this $94 billion in emergency funding, huh? The president and the officials at the DOD, that's the Department of Defense, appear to be using the bulk of the emergency spending requests to pay for items unrelated to the Iraq and Afghanistan war. How do we know this? Huh? Fiscal year 2007 supplemental appropriations for defense, foreign affairs, and other purposes. That report was released earlier this month by the Congressional Research Service. So people have looked at this money. According to this report, $695 million in quote-unquote emergency funding would be used to send an additional aircraft carrier and Marine Expeditionary Force to the Persian Gulf. But I thought this was emergency for Iraq and Iran, and for Iraq. Oh, well, see how I slipped there? I said Iran. Apparently it is for Iran. Furthermore, the Bush administration intends to use $10 million of the supplemental to help the State Department finance a U.S.-established Aluha television to 22 Middle Eastern countries. This is for funding for TV in the Middle East. The request also asks for authority to help Iraq restart factories that would be controversial. We're being asked to pay for, we're being asked to come up with emergency money for items that aren't even close to being an emergency. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello, Liz.
Yes, Floyd.
Yes, this is a Floyd calling. I'm trying to find out when the next school board meeting will be held, and where will it be held?
It will be held at Carr Lane, and we'll have that information tomorrow on the School Watch report with Peter Downs.
That will be the regular school board meeting? So it won't be on a Tuesday is what I'm trying to get at.
No, I said we'll have more information about that tomorrow. I don't think that there is a meeting tonight. I will check and see, but I don't think that there is a meeting tonight.
Okay, that's what I was trying to find out. I certainly appreciate that.
Okay, man. You're more than welcome,
Floyd.
Mm-hmm,
thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fella on the car phone.
You know, I think if I hear one more person talk about cutting and running and losing the war, I think I'm going to throw up. I'm sick of this garbage. You sit up there and you listen to these people talk this madness, the Levins and the Hannitys and all these other clowns putting out this misinformation. People, the war was won 3.5 years ago. The war that we had no business even engaging in. Saddam Hussein fell. There was no weapons of mass destruction. The problem is George Bush and the fellas can't control the oil if they don't stay there.
That's
what it's all about.
That's what it's been about. Look at what this so-called emergency, if we don't pay for this, soldiers are going to die, stuff is going to go for. Buying planes to send to the Persian Gulf, $695 million to send an additional aircraft carrier and Marine Expeditionary Force to the Persian Gulf. Do you hear me?
Newsflash, people. Our troops don't know who the enemy is.
Mm.
They're all over the place.
Mm.
This is a civil war that we're caught up in.
Mm.
Somebody needs to go there and tell them clowns in the White House, look, you know, we need to get our people out of there. They're sitting ducks. And they're just picking them off left and right. They had that so-called troop surge, and the death rate for Americans went up 21%. Anybody paying attention out there?
That's what happens when the D student is in charge.
Ugh.
Thanks for your call.
That was a good one.
1-877-920-WGNU. William.
Well, Liz, thank you for taking my call. I agree with the 15 Democratic congressmen who did not vote with the rest of the party.
The out of Iraq PAC.
Yeah, I agree with them. They said, no, we're not voting a dime for this. Get them out now. And the point is, Liz, first of all, if this, and this is the point I can't understand why everyone's missing this. If this current administration was forthright, this isn't a war that just started yesterday. This has been going on for 4 years now.
That's
why
fact.
Is there an emergency appropriations bill, period?
Fact.
Did they not know that those men were over there? If they were honest with the American people, wouldn't that have been put in the budget like every other spending measure is done?
Well, if you go emergency, you don't have the same safeguards or scrutiny as you do if you go through other budgetary processes.
Exactly. Let's be honest with the American people. Who's behind it? Who's doing it? Let's put everything on the table. And no, I don't agree that there should be another dime spent. Not another dime spent towards this idiotic killing machine.
There you go.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, William. 1-877-920-WGNU. Since 9/11, Congress has passed at least one emergency bill to cover the war costs, making the supplemental spending the method of choice for the majority of the funding of the operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and the so-called war on terror. Of the $510 billion that's been spent so far, $331 billion, about 65%, has come from supplemental spending legislation. Huh. Check this out. If enacted, if we enact what the Defense Department is asking for in emergency spending, this would be the amount that they're asking for is an increase by 40%. Above the last year, and would double the spending from 2004 funding level. Not another dime. Not another dime. All kinds of stuff. They have in the budget request additional authority to help Iraq restart factories that could be controversial. What the heck is that? And why are we paying for it? No. The answer is no. Not another dime. My name is Liz Brown. In the next hour, I'm going to be talking to Vanessa Williams. She is the president of the National Conference of Black Mayors. They're having their 33rd convention in Baton Rouge, the capital city of Louisiana, May 2nd through May 7th. And the presidential candidates have announced their intentions earlier than usual. I bet they have. Hillary, Barack, Edwards, Kucinich are all going down there, and we're going to talk to the president of the National Conference of Black Mayors, Vanessa Williams. She's going to be joining us. You don't want to miss the next hour. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The group Al-Qaeda in Iraq says it was behind what the Pentagon is calling the deadliest attack on U.S. troops in Iraq since December of 2005, yesterday in the Diyala province.
9 soldiers killed, 20 more injured. The U.S. military says it was a single suicide car bomb that did it. They were in a small village northeast of Baghdad. Iraqi sources tell ABC News that the soldiers were ambushed while on foot patrol.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad. 2 House committee hearings this morning are getting a lot of attention. One begins in a few minutes from now. A House Energy and Commerce subcommittee that will look into food safety. There have been a number of major recalls in the past few months, from tainted spinach to contaminated pet food. The other hearing gets underway in about an hour from now over how the Defense Department handled the deaths of soldiers, kidnappings, and other matters. Here's ABC's McGratner.
3 years after Pat Tillman's death in Afghanistan, his mother and brother will appear before a House committee, still trying to get the full story about why his death from friendly fire was covered up.
Our failure in fulfilling this duty brought discredit to the Army and compounded the grief suffered by the Tillman family.
Army Secretary Pete Geron. The House panel will also hear from former Private Jessica Lynch, injured in an Iraqi attack on her motor convoy and rescued by U.S. commandos from an Iraqi hospital. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
Good news for Toyota, not so good for the big three. ABC's Jim Hickey.
At a Toyota website, a fellow by the name of Craig.
Hi, I'm Craig.
Explains why he likes his Prius so much.
I thought the technology was really cool.
It is technology, plus fuel efficiency and cost-cutting, experts say, that for the first time has put Toyota ahead of General Motors as the world's largest car maker, at least in the first quarter of this year, selling more than 2.3 million vehicles to GM. 2.2. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Hey, Ken, picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helps control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage, and I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
It's going to be cheaper to get your Z's soon.
Talk to your doctor about Ambien.
Consumers who use it will sleep more soundly, knowing they've saved some money. The Food and Drug Administration has given 13 drug companies approval to make generic versions of the insomnia drug Ambien. The patent held by Sanofi Aventis expired last Saturday. It's not clear how much the generic will cost, but in general, consumers who use generic drugs can save as much as 80% off the cost of the brand name version. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
Sheryl Crow wants to put an end to the ruckus over that one square comment she'd made recently on a political blog, as in one square of toilet paper to save trees. You know the rest. The singer says her suggestion was really just a joke. Apparently a lot of people didn't understand. Is Wi-Fi hazardous to your health? A Swedish study says all those signals going through the air could harm us, and we're not going to know the full effects for a while. That's enough, though, for British officials to call for a major study into just how bad it could be. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, police are asking for the public's help to find the killer of a Clayton attorney. 4 months ago, Ernest Brazier was found shot to death inside a colleague's office at his firm. Investigators say there was no sign of a struggle or forced entry. A $50,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the murderer. Investigators specifically want to know about the day and approximate time of the murder, December 19th, between 5 and 7 p.m. Anyone with any information is asked to call Clayton Police at 314-290-8417. A Metro East man is facing federal charges after taking an Illinois 8th grader to Texas. 22-year-old Warren Harbison of Edwardsville has been charged with transporting a minor in interstate commerce with the intent to engage in unlawful sexual activity. The 13-year-old had been reported missing by her family on April 7th, and investigators believe the girl left voluntarily. Harbison and the girl were found 2 days later at a truck stop near Amarillo, Texas. Finally this hour, a man has pleaded guilty in an extortion case involving a former Cardinal baseball player. 48-year-old George Edwards Jr. made the plea yesterday to a federal wire fraud charge. Edwards' plan was to tell Ronnie Belliard that Edwards' daughter Laura Edwards was pregnant and that Belliard was the father. Edwards had threatened to go to the press unless Belliard paid $150,000. The plea agreement said that some of the things Edwards told Belliard's agents were materially false. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic. West Florissant and Pershore, there's a report of a vehicle fire. Olive, west of Warson, there's an accident. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays there. Eastbound 40 from Maryville through Mason Road. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns around the 44 Exchange. Northbound 141 from Hawkins through 64. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Look for some heavy volume there as well as heavy volume at northbound 270 from Dorset through 70, especially in the 70 exit lanes. Eastbound 70 from Bryan through 79, slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from 367 in the New Florissant, look for some delays. Southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset, look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight, you've got some delays there as well. Southbound 367 from Parker Road through 270, look for a bit of a brief slowdown. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is stacked at the top of the ramp. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing, look for slowdowns. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split, heavy volume going on there at this hour. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, 50% chance of showers, highs in the upper 70s. This evening, occasional showers and thunderstorms, lows around 60s. For Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms with a high in the lower 70s. And Thursday, showers likely, possible thunderstorms with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 58 degrees, Lambert Fields reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. you need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to attend to. And we always like to cover events and talk about events and talk about the issues that you're not going to hear about anywhere else. We like to. It's important. It's imperative for us to be able to address events that are coming up that you're not going to hear about from anywhere else. And that's one of the things that we do here on the wake-up call. Oh, 1-877-920-WGNU. We are trying to, this morning, bring to you a discussion with the president of the National Conference of Black Mayors to talk about what is happening in Baton Rouge this month. And it's important. And I really think that when we think about how the stars are aligning up, I don't know of any other time in our history that we have had an opportunity to hear from the voices of those who want to be the President of the United States. I don't know when we've had an opportunity to have. I don't know when we have experienced such eagerness. And I think out of that eagerness, we need to extract an opportunity. Or their eagerness gives us an opportunity to ask some very serious questions from those who want to govern us. I think it's a delightful thing that we have presidential candidates that are rushing to talk to black folks. And we're going to find out about one in just a moment when we talk to Vanessa Williams about the conference that is going to be taking place in Baton Rouge in the first part of May. My name is Liz Brown. The National Conference of Black Mayors 33rd Annual Convention. And the presidential candidates, the presidential hopefuls are coming. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back to continue my conversation with Vanessa Williams. Stay with me.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Ballfazer, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, my name, my name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. My guest this morning, Vanessa Williams, is here to talk to us about the 33rd Annual Conference of Black Mayors Convention in Baton Rouge this year. Vanessa, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you? How have you been?
Oh, I'm blessed. It's great to hear your voice again.
It's great to hear your voice, too, and I am very excited about this conference. Talk to us first about the organization itself.
Sure, I'd love to. And first, Liz, may I just thank you first for inviting us. You've always been just such a great supporter of our organization, and I have to thank you again for the wonderful job that you did during Katrina and just giving us an opportunity to have a voice. So I have to say that because I was excited to know that you were interested in the convention as well. But the National Conference of Black Mayors, we are a 34-year-old organization. We started out as the Alabama State Conference of Mayors, then formed the Southern Conference of Black Mayors, and now we, in 1974, we incorporated as the National Conference of Black Mayors, representing over 641 African-American mayors throughout the United States.
Wow.
But then in addition to that, we have an umbrella organization, which is the World Conference of Mayors, and we represent over 3,000 mayors of African descent all over the world.
Wow. Did we lose you?
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
I was just saying wow.
I thought you had a question.
No, that's just wow.
But we are very excited. The whole purpose of our national association is to be a platform on which African-American mayors can participate through both trainings as well as networking with each other on national issues that impact the local community. Former congressman, now mayor of Oakland, made a comment that I've made, and I repeat it over and over again. I told him, listen, I'll give you credit the first five times, and then I'm going to have to keep it as my own. But he said, people live and die at the local level.
Yes, they do.
And it is so important for mayors to step up with leadership because they are the true leaders of the community because they were the ones elected by the people. And our organization understands that, and what our main focus is to ensure that the mayors have a voice and that they're given the opportunity to meet with those who make decisions in reference to the local communities.
And I was just thinking and commenting before I got you on the air here how spiritual it feels at this point in time in our history that we have such an amazing energy to the presidential race, that all of a sudden everybody is viable. People that hadn't been thought of to be viable before are now viable. And this presents an extraordinary opportunity for your organization, doesn't it?
Absolutely it does. It really does. And, you know, when speaking specifically on the presidential candidates, and I did get a chance to hear you in speaking some of the words that you were talking about, and it is amazing. Liz, I can be very straightforward with you because we usually are.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, in previous years, we didn't have the response that we received this year for our convention.
That's right.
Black mayors were looked upon as black mayors. And you saw a lot of the politicians tend to overlook our annual convention and look at it as though it was just a convening of African-American mayors and that's it. But with the dynamics that have moved forward for our people, period, with this election, and I think the Obama factor has a lot to do with that.
Absolutely.
And that's definitely giving him credit to the fact that he's made it a point to be present at a lot of the African-American events, and he hasn't taken the African-American community for granted and respect that. He's really brought a lot of the people to the table. So when we were able to say he was the first to sign on, when we said, listen, here's an invitation to come and speak, he was like, I'm there. And I think that, and that's not endorsing, but it's just the truth. And, you know, and after we were able to tell some of the other candidates, well, you know, Obama's speaking. They're, oh.
me too.
We need to speak also. you know, Edwards was wonderful. He signed on. And so we're looking very forward to having both former Senator Edwards, John Edwards, as well as Senator Barack Obama, Senator Clinton. We're still waiting final confirmation of her agenda on which day she will be attending, but we've received a verbal confirmation
that she's coming. That she's coming.
Absolutely, as well as Bill Richardson's office, who is the governor of New Mexico.
How about Dennis Kucinich? Is he going to be joining you?
I'm sorry?
Dennis Kucinich?
No, he's not. We have not received any confirmation from his office. And surprisingly enough, I made a call just yesterday to the RNC. We've had very little response from the Republican Party and their candidates in reference to our convention. But as I stated to the Ken Melman's office, who's the chair of the RNC, this, even though this is the National Conference of Black Mayors, these are still leaders, and we are a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. We do not endorse. So what we would like to make sure is that all of our membership is educated, as well as the people that they represent, not just about the Democratic Party, but also what the Republican Party has to offer in this time to their leadership as well.
And Vanessa, when we crunch the numbers and we talk about the constituency that these mayors represent, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
39 million.
39 million.
Absolutely. And we actually have a new slogan saying that we're the voice of 39 million.
There you go.
And it's absolutely amazing. I mean, if I could just share with you, if we look at Louisiana, seeing that we're going to Louisiana, there we'll be hosted in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where we have the first African-American mayor there, Mayor Melvin Kip Holden, who is our host city mayor. And in Louisiana, we have 54 African-American mayors there in the state. But when you say that to someone, they say, oh, wow, I didn't know there were 54 mayors in Louisiana. But then when you look at the numbers behind that number, those 54 mayors in Louisiana represent 1.8 million people.
And that decides elections, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's only 4.2 million people in the whole state.
Wow. One of the things, there's a tape that I play for Minister Farrakhan when he was speaking at the Million Man Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he said was that the margin of our vote determines the elections.
Absolutely.
We decide who stays, we decide who goes by the margin of our vote. And when we're talking about 39 million people, what person who's running for the presidency can afford to say, no, I'm not going to talk to y'all?
Well, hey, that's the question I'm asking. You know, but, you know, Liz, I heard you say this before. It's up to us to tell our story.
There you go.
You know, if we do not become effective communicators, and if we do not tell the story, and then Reverend Cowles said when he was talking about the fact that he was the last minister alive that was at the Lorraine Motel when he had passed away, and he said he had asked God many times, why was he left? You know, Abernathy's gone, all of these great men and women are gone. He said, why am I the last one? And he said, well, a lying witness is a dangerous witness. And he said, and God left him to be a witness. Well, taking that statement, because it really touched me when he said it, and applying it to our politics, not just black politics, but politics and how we participate collectively as a people, if we're going to be lying witnesses, then we're a dangerous witness. You know, and saying that our numbers are weak, or allowing the media to play the black community cheap, or try to use statistics and numbers and saying, well, the Latino community is the largest community, but they're not telling you that they're leaving in that number the Afro-Colombians and the people who actually would claim African descent if you just change the way that you write the census somewhat.
And also the voting history, the legacy of our commitment to this political process.
Absolutely.
No one has a commitment like we do. Nobody has gone through consistently. We can go back to the 2004 campaign election and in Ohio and look at how people of African descent were kept from voting. So
absolutely,
Nobody has our legacy and nobody has our commitment.
No, they don't. And not only that, Liz, just expand on what you're saying, but had it not been for the trials and tribulations that we've gone through and the sacrifices that we've made, other people would not have the opportunities that they have. The civil rights movement didn't just birth the rights for African Americans. It birthed the rights for the Latinos, for women, for gays, for some of everyone. So with that being said, we've always been productive as a people and positive participants about positive change. And I think that that should always be commended.
And participants against extraordinary odds.
Absolutely.
And speaking of the odds and speaking of the extraordinary circumstances that people of African descent find themselves confronted with in the year 2007, there's a reason why this event is being held in Louisiana, isn't it, Vanessa?
Yes, ma'am, there is. This event is being held in Louisiana because we felt as though we needed to make sure that America doesn't forget. And not only does America not forget, but the world not forget that we still have, as a country, a part of this country that needs to be redeveloped. I remember we were having discussions when the cameras go off, the issue goes off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now that the cameras are off, Katrina's not being mentioned, and we're so focused on the war in Iraq that we're not focused on building New Orleans or building Louisiana. And we specifically chose the city of Baton Rouge because Mayor Kip Holden took in, against all that was going on during Katrina, he took in over 250,000 survivors of Katrina from New Orleans.
250,000.
Absolutely. He doubled his population overnight. And we found that in many of our mayor's communities. Now, I spoke of Baton Rouge, but you saw that happening in Bastrop, Louisiana, where they had a population of 8,900 and they went to 18,000 overnight.
Mm.
You know, and yet none of these mayors complained. St. Gabriel, Louisiana, which is in Donaldsonville, which is right in between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, they tripled in population, and none of these mayors turned anyone away. And to me, that is one of the important reasons why we should continue to have and support African-American leadership in elected positions, even though I know that we tend to only, the media tends to only focus on the negative.
And that's what I was going to say. When they tell the story of Houston and people of African descent or survivors of Katrina going there, they tell it from a crime perspective,
mm-hmm.
period, dot. That's the end of the story.
Absolutely.
And we're going to continue our conversation. Vanessa Williams, we're talking about the wonderful convention that's going to be taking place May 2nd. Is that right?
That's correct.
May 2nd through the 7th. And that's the National Convention Conference of Black Mayors, 33rd Annual Convention in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, May 2nd through the 7th. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Olive at West Warrison, look for an accident there. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Laclede Station, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's at Laclede Station. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for some slowdowns there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, look for delays. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Doherty Ferry, you've got slow traffic there. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and New Florissant, look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for some delays as well. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for that traffic to be easing at this hour. Northbound 270 between Clayton and Ladue, look for heavy volume still this hour. Westbound 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is moving well. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing at this hour. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a quick look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, high around the upper 70s. A chance of showers this afternoon. This evening, showers and thunderstorms. Locally, heavy rainfall is possible, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much mirror image both days. Showers and thunderstorms both days, highs in the lower 70s both days. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 59 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 61, both with cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Ballfazer, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelium Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Hi, this is Sil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
I have an asthma attack. I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send me the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget that we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net or LizBrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. You can also catch any hour that you've missed from the Wake Up Call by going to WhiteRoseSociety.org. My guest this hour is the Executive Director of the National Conference of Black Mayors, Vanessa Williams. She's joining us from Atlanta, and we're talking about a conference that is taking place, the National Conference of Black Mayors, that's going to take place at their convention, is going to take place in Baton Rouge on May 2nd to the 7th. Vanessa, welcome back. Talk to us again, if you will, about what it has been like for the cities in Louisiana in dealing with the after of Katrina. What are some of the missed stories out here?
Well, the word resilient is just here for me, and just looking at how these mayors have taken very little and made the most out of them. I believe that the private-public sector has really stepped up in reference to trying to help get things done that the federal government has not done for these communities. But in just historically looking at what has happened whenever we've had a national disaster, it's never been the federal government that bailed the communities out or that even redeveloped them and rebuilt them. It was always the private sector. So what I would say is when I think about some of the hot topics and some of the way the things are happening and some of the wonderful stories that are coming out of this, it would be watching for us to watch and see how the private sector and the individual philanthropists have stepped up and have assisted. And you know what? Surprisingly enough, and not surprisingly to me, but to many, members of the rap community and what they've done in a lot of these communities to build community centers and to do things for youth and help rebuild schools.
Give us some of those examples, please.
Oh, sure. What Nas has done in Natchez, Mississippi, was assisting with the development of their community center. You have people like Puff Daddy and Jay-Z who went down and helped rebuild schools in New Orleans. You had members of the rap community that have gone out, like, Missy Elliott, mm-hmm. who has gone out and helped rebuild women's shelters. So these type of things that have been done by these individuals, I mean, Russell Simmons and the Hip Hop Network with Dr. Ben Chavis, the work that they've done, I know that I believe that they invested over $5 million in the rebuilding of a lot of the communities, not just in New Orleans, but even some of the smaller mayors. These people were the people who responded when we said we needed help. Del Davis that played for the Detroit Pistons, Norm Nixon, these individuals that stepped up and said, what can we do to leverage our celebrityism and assist NCBM with raising the capital that's needed for these mayors to get assistance? And what we did, and I know that you are very familiar, Liz, because you were one of the friends that helped us promote this, but we did an Adopt-A-City program because, mm-hmm. unfortunately, what happens when at times when you're dealing with African-American organizations is there is always a question of whether or not the money is going to go where it's supposed to go. So we removed even that thought and said, you know what, don't even give it to us. Sponsor a city. And we had our mayors respond and say, well, I needed a school rebuilt or I needed a community center or we need streets redone. And we were able to get people to say, okay, this is what I will sponsor. And that was phenomenal. And that's a story that's not been told that I wish would be told.
Wow. And are people going to be able to hear some of this, some of these stories, if they go to the conference?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We actually have an open discussion in which we're talking about that topic. And our theme this year is Leadership Is. And the reason why we chose the theme Leadership is because I believe that we as a people, not just African-American people, but a people period, are being challenged in a way that we're having to stretch. And I believe that people, the people, are really searching for true leadership. And what I believe, now this is Vanessa's personal thought, is that we collectively as human race never understand that we ourselves are leaders because all of us lead in some aspect. And what the mayors are showing and what they want to demonstrate is that leadership is, and it's just dot, 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 because it's so many things. And you have women that lead. And, you know, we have this campaign through our Black Women's Mayors Caucus, and we have 179 African-American mayors that are women within our organization. And they have a theme that they're doing right now, and it's called I'm Not Political. And the whole focus on this is because you have a lot of women who will give the comment when you ask them to get involved with the political process. They'll say, oh, well, I'm not political. I'm not going to get involved with that. Or maybe I vote. Or then you have a lot of people that'll say, I'm not political. What we've done with this campaign, I'm not political, is show that you are political. Because when they stop making that bus stop in front of your child's school, or when they change the route and they no longer come to your community for services, with the trash, or with, you know, or with after school tutorials, programs, or with the community center, or with the pool. Those are political issues. We are surrounded by politics every day.
Everything is politics.
Everything is politics.
Everything is politics. You may not want to be political, but political is on you, whether you want it or not.
Absolutely. And those are the type of discussions that we'll be able to get into at our annual convention. We have a dynamic sister, Marcia Dyson, wife of Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, who will be the keynote at our women's luncheon, in which we will be honoring also at that time Prime Minister Portia Simpson, of the Prime Minister of Jamaica. And
excellent.
The work that she's done there in Jamaica with revitalizing and getting Jamaicans in America to come back and invest in Jamaica. And it's just been absolutely beautiful watching her leadership grow. And we were able to actually open a satellite site in Jamaica for the National Conference of Black Mayors. So we'll have the Jamaican delegation of mayors present.
Excellent.
And one of the other beautiful things that we're doing is is our International Day. Wonderful mayor of ours, which is Mayor Larry Bryant, who is a wonderful public servant. And then, of course, as I shared with you earlier, we're waiting for confirmation on the day that Senator Clinton will be actually speaking. So I know that they will all take questions, and that's something that they've asked to do. And each candidate have actually asked to have a separate conversation with the mayors specifically so that they can understand their needs and concerns.
And if you were able to predict, Vanessa, the some of the questions that the mayors will be asking the presidents, all politics is local, that's mm-hmm. where the rubber hits the road. What kind of questions do you think will be directed to these presidential candidates?
Well, I definitely know that the mayors have a concern about where the education system is going in this country.
Absolutely.
Especially in lower income and underprivileged areas and the lack of funding that has existed there. We talk about crime, but we never talk about rehabilitation. I know that this is a concern of the mayors because of the fact that the federal government has taken out a lot of the programs that once took incarcerated men and women and gave them a trade while they were serving their time so that when they came back into society that they were able to function and get a job and have a trade. Those things no longer exist. And one thing that the American population may not be privy to is that this year we will have 2.5 million felons that will be released back into society. And what's going to happen with those people when they come back into these mayor's communities?
And the other piece of that, Vanessa, also are not only are we going to have that, we've incarcerated millions of people,
absolutely.
But we've also taken away not only the trade training piece of it, but now you can't get an apartment if you have a felony. You can't apply
absolutely.
For a job because you have a felony conviction.
Absolutely.
We put up so many barriers. So what are we supposed to do with these people that are getting out?
Absolutely. Our think tank discussion, and I'm very excited about that because we have some people on this panel that I love and admire greatly and that were very instrumental growing up and reading their work. Dr. Julia Hare, Dr. Nathan Hare, Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, as well as Senator Barack Obama will be participating in a dialogue with our mayors about the state and condition of African Americans in this country. And it's not a state of, it's not a Mark Morial, the state of Black America, it's none of that. But what it is what we want to do is actually walk out of this discussion with some goals. What we're launching also at the convention is our Mayor's Cares campaign, which
I want you to hold that thought we have to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about that Mayor's Cares program.
Yes.
This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to the executive director of the National Conference of Black Mayors, Vanessa Williams. We're talking about their 33rd annual convention in Baton Rouge, May 2nd through the 7th. We have Barack Obama that's going to be there. Hillary Clinton is going to be there. John Edwards is going to be there. Mayor Richardson is going to be there. It's the place to be. You need to know about this. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Every day the chances of becoming a victim of mercury poisoning increase. Mercury poisoning may cause neurological damage that impairs learning, vision, and memory. And mercury itself has become part of our everyday lives, absorbed by certain fish, taken into our bodies, and passed on to our children like a common cold. But you can stop this. Log on to earthshare.org and find out how. A public service message brought to you by Earthshare and the Ad Council.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Bryant.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you a song. Come away with me. Come away where they can't tempt us with their lies.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm talking to the Executive Director of the National Conference of Black Mayors, Vanessa Williams. She's joining us this morning from Atlanta and talking about their 33rd annual convention, this starting May 2nd through the 7th in Baton Rouge. And Vanessa, you were talking to us about this program.
Yes, ma'am. The Mayor's Cares Initiative is an initiative that we've partnered with Essence Magazine and Susan Taylor on, in which we, as an organization and through our membership, are partnering with the churches and with leaders within each of the mayor's respective communities and asking them to mentor. And we understand that a lot of the decisions that are made by young people are made not because they don't want to do better, but because they don't have people in their lives that can help them make positive decisions. And understand that life is totally about choices. We want to ensure that these young people have positive influences around them so they can make wise decisions and not just decisions. And so the whole thrust behind the Mayor's Cares program is to ask the churches within the local communities to open their doors outside of Wednesday and Sunday and start after-school tutorial programs as well as youth-driven programming so that we can get these babies off of the streets. And so that they're not just sitting at home being idle, but being productive.
One of the things that I would love to see started in addition to that, Vanessa, because you started this conversation off with talking about how the connection between politics and the quality of our lives. What's missing in schools, I think, are making that connection between local politics. You see that in the voting patterns, that people, everybody and their brother gets out and votes during the presidential election, mm-hmm. but they don't vote during the school board president's election.
Absolutely.
Or the school board election. And there is a disconnect with our young. I think that young people would make different decisions, positive decisions, or continuing positive decisions, if they had that connection made, if they understood the quality of their life being determined by the politics that they live in, and that they can change the world if they involve themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I saw that myself. We had some students here in the city of St. Louis that took 5 days and sat in the mayor's office in the city of St. Louis because of what was happening with the state wanting to take over the control of the largest school district in the state. That would be the city of St. Louis. And these young people brought an issue to the forefront. These young people, and I sat with them. I was there all 5 days with them, and they were concerned about not being able to get into colleges and not being able to get their scholarships if the accreditation was taken away before the end of the school year. And as a result of that sit-in, they said, we're not going to take it away before the end of the school year. They can make a difference.
Well, I think that time has shown that it's usually the youth that will take the stand.
Fact.
I mean, they'll make the hard decision and they'll take the risk. And it could be blind ambition or it could just be foolish youth, you know, but they're the ones.
No
that,
mortgage. They have no mortgage payment. All of
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. No that. Risk.
Okay. All
exactly,
of that.
I used to be one of those youth.
Okay.
So, and once you have children and you're married and you have mortgages, it's like, oh, well, let me think again about
okay.
this.
Okay.
You know, but with youth, you find courage.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that we as adults would support that courage more often than we do. And if I can digress,
sure.
It has nothing to do with the convention, but it has everything to do with the convention. When you look at the images that are given to African-American youth on television or youth period, or the way that African-Americans are being portrayed through media, through radio, through songs, through lyrics, And then you hear the statements that IMAs have made in reference, and then you hear the response that, you know, leaders have made in reference to that. I'm very concerned about the way that we embrace our children.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, my father just used to always tell us that you teach people how to treat you. And I'm just very concerned at the way that we're teaching society to treat our children.
And I was watching, and also, there are two, from my perspective, there are two things here. Missing in the discussion, because I resist the urge to hop to Nellie after an IMAS. I want to hop to Nellie's boss, okay?
Absolutely.
Because it's Nellie is not making the decision of what words are going to be used in those records. The people that are above and the people that look like IMAS are making those decisions. And that's a discussion that has not been had, because it's easy, it's sexy, it's celebrity-ness-ism to go after the Nellies and the Snoop Doggy Dogs. Not to say that the stuff that they say doesn't land somewhere and is reprehensible and is problematic, but I want to get to, I'm not interested in the $20 on the corner crack seller as much as I am with the billionaire that's bringing it in from Mexico, because a $20 on the street crack person wouldn't have it to sell if we got at the people. And it's a lot easier to get at those executives at CBS than it is to the people that are bringing in the crack. And so to me, that's one of the issues. And the other part of the imagery of our children comes from the fact that we as a community need to constantly embrace our children and rail against that you telling a lie about our babies.
Absolutely. Our mayors did a press conference shortly after the statements were made, and many had called and asked, well, Vanessa, why are the mayors taking the position that they're taking about this? And that was the exact thing that they were saying. No, we do not support any type of language in a song that would degrade or demean anyone. However, you will not take this focus off of him or this sip, not even IMAS, but what made IMAS comfortable
there
to
you go.
Say it.
There you go.
And then put it back on these African-American children. Because what they don't understand, and I don't know if we understand the biggest picture, but these are the new philanthropists in our community.
There you go. There you go.
And what you're doing, when you start talking about cutting off their way of living, then we need to look at the movie theaters. Look at, you know, radio. We need to look at shock jock. We need to look at all of it. Don't just look at the rap industry and say, oh, well, it's just them, but yet you see television showing this, and you see the different movies that are coming out that are glorifying violence and the way that you treat women in a negative manner.
And let's
it's a larger discussion than just rap music.
And
let's
talk about the history of those that attempted to bring positive rap in the beginning. That's not what the record companies wanted to hear.
Absolutely not.
That's not what they wanted to sell, and that's not what they allowed to happen.
Absolutely. The rapper Q-Tip, who is with the Tribe Called Quest, he is actually going to be presenting as well as with some other artists at our convention, and they're going to have an open dialogue with the mayors about how we can take this thing forward by putting some pressure on the industry and actually supporting rappers who are, I mean, what happened to KRS-One?
There you go.
What happened to A Tribe Called Quest?
Mm-hmm.
What happened, you know, all of that rap hip-hop started out to be when I was younger.
Me too.
You know, what happened to that where we now have this gangster rap and
who
this
bought
rap
it?
That,
who
music
bought
that we have today that is just not, it's not even creative. And you know, and one of the things that I said to the mayors is, you know what, I said, if we really want to address this, if they stop taking the instruments out of the children's schools, they would have not stopped at just making music with their mouth.
There you go.
I mean, the reason why we don't have them doing other freedom of expression is because we stopped teaching them.
Absolutely.
We started eliminating all the programs that allowed young people to explore their creativity.
And
so then, because of just our natural makeup, they said, you know what? Okay, well, I can't play the instrument because mama can't afford an instrument. You know what? I'm going to start making music with my mouth. So they start beatboxing. They start rapping. That's just, we tell stories.
Yes, we
that's
do.
That's what we do.
Yes, we do.
And we find ways to make music. And that's a beautiful thing about our culture. And that's not something that we run from. That's something that we run to.
I saw the most obscene thing that I was upset all day long. Someone had pushed me to, or showed me this on somebody's blog, a television show that is on BET about the black colleges. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this?
I have not watched it, but I have seen the commercials for it.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. There was this clip off, and this these are about kids, a reality show of black kids at black colleges. These kids were fighting and stabbed one another. One another. And what I found out is that these aren't kids that go to black colleges. What the program does is that they take kids from other black kids from other colleges, enroll them in a black college for a semester so that they can say that they are in those schools at that time. Mm-hmm. And after the program is over with, they send them back to these other colleges.
That's awful.
Oh, it's awful. It is so awful. But, Vanessa, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And tell us again when the convention is, and if people want to be part of this, how do they do it?
Well, if you would like to be a part, you can always contact our organization, and you can reach us the easiest way is via web, and it has all of our information on it, which is www.ncbm.org, and that's the National Conference of Black Mayors 33rd Annual Convention, May the 2nd through the 6th in Baton Rouge, the great city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right. Now, and if people don't have access to the net, is there a phone number that they can call?
Oh, absolutely. 404-765-6444. Again, that number is 404-765-6444, and that's the number to our national headquarters.
Vanessa Williams, always a pleasure. You are so wonderful. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
me this
you, Liz.
Morning.
Thank you, Liz. I think just as highly of you. Thank you so very much.
Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. A House committee hearing begins in a few minutes into how the Pentagon is handling news of U.S. troop deaths, kidnappings, and other matters in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they'll hear from some people who are directly affected. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
Former Private Jessica Lynch has said the Army exaggerated the story of her rescue in Iraq, and she'll set the record straight about her capture at a congressional hearing. On Good Morning America, she also said the Army should tell the whole story about the friendly fire death of Army Ranger Pat Tillman.
His family deserves the truth. They definitely deserve to know what really happened to their son.
Lawmakers want to know if the government has an aerial video of Tillman's death. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
The Pentagon's calling an attack on U.S. troops in Iraq's Diyala province the worst on-ground forces there since December of 2005. 9 killed, 20 wounded. The group Al-Qaeda in Iraq says it's responsible.
They are scrambling this morning to understand what happened yesterday. 9 U.S. soldiers died. They're part of Task Force Lightning. The attack happened in the Diyala province northeast of Baghdad. It does bring that total up to 85 service members killed for this month.
That's ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad. The war of words over the war in Iraq is getting more heated, even nasty at times. White House Deputy Press Secretary Dana Perino says they can give as good as they get.
Far be it from us to let us be whack-a-mole and get whacked about the head and not respond. I mean, we're going to respond because it's important for the American people to understand that where we are coming from.
The president today focuses on education safety in a visit to New York City. He'll talk about his No Child Left Behind program at a school in Harlem. He'll also attend a GOP fundraiser. How safe is our food supply? House committee's begun a series of hearings into the matter today. Toyota's not just moving you forward. It's number one in auto sales. A Japanese company sped past GM in the first quarter of this year. This is ABC News.
Hey, Ken, picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helps control daytime, even nighttime, acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage. And I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Russell Simmons says it's time for the hip-hop community to clean up its language. Here's ABC's David Blaustein.
In a carefully worded statement, the Hip-Hop Summit Action Network is recommending that the recording and broadcasting industries voluntarily bleep, remove, or delete the misogynistic word Imus used in the infamous rant that led to his downfall. It is one of three words the HSAN would like to expunge from music. The two others include another derogatory term used to describe women, which isn't just heard in music, but on daytime and evening television. The third is a racial epithet which some might be surprised to learn often shows up in hip-hop. David Blaustein, ABC News, New York.
Maybe you won't complain next time you get a migraine headache after hearing this. A provocative new study says that pain could be protecting your memory. Researchers say middle-aged migraine sufferers had less cognitive decline than people who never had one of the headaches, as you might guess. This study has a lot of skeptics. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a prominent attorney has been indicted for distributing drugs to minors. Tom Lakin had lived in East Alton before moving to California. A grand jury in East St. Louis returned a 7-count indictment, which included transporting a minor across state lines with the intent to engage in sexual conduct. Most of the incidents allegedly occurred between 1998 and 2002. The 66-year-old Lakin surrendered to authorities yesterday afternoon. The cause of a mulch fire is still under investigation. A huge pile of mulch caught fire on Sunday at the Route 66 Landscape Supply Center between Eureka and Pacific. Nearly 100 firefighters from 12 districts battled the four-alarm blaze until finally extinguishing the fire on Monday afternoon. Smoke from the fire had shut down all trains in the area. Homes nearby were not affected. Finally this hour, the Cardinals return home this evening when they face the Cincinnati Reds at Busch Stadium. The Redbirds will be hoping to reverse a losing trend on their home turf as they are 1-6 in St. Louis this season. The Cards play 12 of their next 15 games at home. Kip Wells takes the mound for the Cardinals. He has an ERA of 3.12 this year, but lack of run support has left him with a 1-3 record on the season. Aaron Harang starts for the Reds this evening. Game time is 7:10. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. This is a look at your traffic and your weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Westbound 40 between Big Ben and Laclede Station. An accident. Shoulders blocked at Laclede Station. Expect slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic's finally easing up. Northbound 270 at 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for some delays, but everything's still on the move. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems there to speak of. Eastbound 40 between Oakland and Hampton. Road construction has it reduced to 2 lanes. And westbound 40 between Hampton and Oakland. Look for road construction reducing it to 2 lanes as well. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for no problems to report. And then again from Butler Hill into 255, 270. No problems to report there as well. That's been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy this afternoon. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s this evening, showers and thunderstorms, low in the lower 60s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much mirror images both days, showers and thunderstorms both days with a high in the lower 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees, scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 65 and scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me, brothers, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brothers, how can I understand?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I sustain?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I often, before I get to my guests, I want to share with you a couple of bookkeeping matters that we need to get to really quickly here. Donna, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. You have some announcements to make, please.
Yes, I do. April the 25th, that's Wednesday tomorrow, the board meeting will actually be at Northwest Academy, located at 5140 Riverview. The public session will start at 7 p.m. in the school auditorium.
Northwest Academy, very good.
Yes, and the second one is that we're going to have a public information meeting tonight at Vashon High School from 4:30 to 7, and everyone is welcome. We will be talking about the St. Louis Public School takeover.
Very good. Thank you so much, Donna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. I often use make the statement on my show, are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? Given all the information that's out there, given all the information I'm bringing you, are you scared yet? Well, I want to continue in that thought process. I want to have a conversation this morning and discuss the topic of how food has become a casualty of biotechnology's promise. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Brooklyn, Michael Heimbinder, a fellow at the Oakland Institute. Michael, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. Is it fair to ask the question, are you scared yet, when we're talking about this issue?
Yeah, I started laughing. I think it's I'm laughing because it is, in some sense, you know, sometimes when you're nervous, you laugh. And this is something to make anyone nervous, the genetic engineering of food.
And so let's start at where we are right now. Talk about how, give us some background of pharmaceutical conglomerates and how they have gotten to the place to have the power that they have right now to change our food.
Okay, I guess where to start? I like to start with the Supreme Court decision that was made in 1980, and it was a ruling by the name of Chakravarti versus Diamond. And it basically meant that you could now own life. It meant that you could genetically manipulate an organism, and that the resulting animal, bacteria, plant could be private property. And that kind of triggered a sea change in the seed industry in the United States. Most research on new and improved varieties of seeds were done by public institutions. They were done by the USDA. They were done by land-grant universities. Because there's something unique about life as a commodity, so to speak, and that's that it reproduces itself. So if I'm a farmer and I plant my wheat, the next year I can save seed from that current crop and replant it, right? But what happened with the Supreme Court decision is that was now private property. Now if I'm Monsanto and I sell my genetically engineered seeds to a farmer and they try to save the seed and replant it, I can sue them, right? So all of a sudden, it was a huge sea change in the seed industry, and pharmaceutical companies started investing in seeds and buying up seed companies left and right, and that had never been the case before. Most of this research was done at public institutions, like I said. And
even that concept, Michael, of ownership of life, this country has a long and bloody legacy, and you would have thought that this country would have learned about what happens when you feel that you have the right to purchase life.
And that's very true, because of course there were slaves in the United States, and there's been slaves since, you know, in societies going back through history for millennia, and we still have slavery today. We have slavery on sugar plantations down in Brazil. We have slavery in this country with women who are shipped from Eastern Europe to be in the sex trade. So it's true that we have life forms as commodities.
And that's a concept. And that's the concept that seems to me is the foundation of the concept of these desires by these pharmaceuticals. We're going to continue our conversation with Michael Heimbinder. He's a fellow at the Oakland Institute in Brooklyn. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Don't forget that we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net or check me out at Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. Don't forget that the shows are archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you've missed an hour, please go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. My conversation this morning is with Michael Heimbinder. He's a fellow at the Oakland Institute, and he's joining us from Brooklyn, New York. And we're talking about how food has become a casualty of the biotechnology's promise. And, Michael, we were talking about this whole concept and the case that has taken us to this place of ownership of life. I've always thought it's just so profoundly obscene that we would try to create a product that you put in the ground, life, that doesn't create life, a seed that doesn't create life afterwards.
Yeah, it is. And what I really want to get to at this, because, you know, there's been a lot of said about the risks of genetically engineered crops, and those are very serious issues. But what I've really tried to point out in the paper is that a lot of these companies are purporting to be in genetically engineering plants and animals in order to grow more food and feed more people. But what I'm arguing is that these inventions are really being done in pursuit of monopoly over biotechnology platforms. They're being done to create new pharmaceutical products, right?
Mm.
So if you take the case most recently of Craig Venter, this is a gentleman who's known for beating the National Institutes of Health at decoding the human genome. And now with his company, Venturia Sciences, he's gotten into genetically engineered agriculture. And what he did most recently was plant genetically engineered medicine rice in North Carolina. And this rice supposedly is going to, it's so basically that it's genetically engineered to produce proteins found in human milk, saliva, and tears. And once converted into a powder form, those proteins would be used in granola bars and drinks to help infants in developing countries avoid death from diarrhea.
What the heck? What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And first, let's say that these aren't really being regulated very closely by the USDA. So when Hurricane Ophelia came through the area in 2005, the USDA didn't follow up to find out whether any of this medicine rice, this genetically engineered medicine rice from this farm, got off and possibly got into other farmers' fields. Second, and most importantly, how absurd is it that you're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars coming up with medicine rice supposedly for people in the developing country with diarrhea, children with diarrhea in the developing world, when the fact of the matter is the reason that people have diarrhea in the developing world, according to the World Health Organization, is because they don't have access to safe water and they don't have access to sanitation services.
Just like the people in America had diarrhea before our systems were developed.
Exactly. And so are we really going to fall for this idea that these companies are doing this to feed people, to grow food, to provide medicines to starving Africans. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd. If that's what they were really after, there's simple solutions for this. There's rehydration salts, there's sanitation, these kind of things. So what I'm trying to point out is that these things are being done in the United States in almost every state. There are not only genetically engineered crops in every state, but genetically engineered pharmaceutical crops, right? So this is a whole other class. This isn't just genetically engineered corn that's going to be, well, it is crazy that, you know, you don't have a choice. 70% of the ingredients on grocery store shelves now have genetically engineered ingredients in them, right? So you don't have a choice in the United States. There's not labeling requirements. So,
and this is unlike other places in the world.
Exactly. The United States is unique among nations. There are other countries that are growing genetically engineered crops, but unique in the lax regulatory environment that basically regulates the growing of these new and novel products. And we're the experiment, right? You know, we've been chowing down on these things for 10 years now. The first GE crops came out in 1996. And the crazy thing is that, so, you know, even things that aren't supposed to be consumed by humans. So a couple years ago, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign basically got busted by the FDA, one of the few times they actually took any enforcement action, because these genetically engineered pigs that they were using for experimental purposes, they basically put off into the food supply. You know, so people ate these pigs.
That they were experimenting upon.
Yeah, that were genetically engineered. And some of these animals, so the idea is that if you're a corporation, you're spending all of this money, this is literally, this is the kind of research and development, it looks closer to the pharmaceutical industry. So, if I'm Pfizer, which owns Monsanto, by the way, which is the biggest GE crop producer, if I'm Pfizer, I can afford to spend billions of dollars to develop a new drug, say Lipitor, which is a high cholesterol drug. It made $12 billion in 2006, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is with GE crops, the entire market for GE seeds is $6 billion, right?
Mm.
So why would I spend all of this money to develop something that's just going to produce more food? You know, corn in the United States, that's not worth anything. We pay farmers to grow corn because they can't make enough money when they sell it in the world market. So I'm saying that this is really being done because if you can manipulate corn to produce, you know, a new pesticide, which is what they do, then you could also produce corn that produces human proteins and eventually animals that produce human organs. And, you know, that's worth a lot more money. You know, if you can, a heart on the black market in the world market is worth around $300,000, right?
Mm.
A bunch more corn's worth a few pennies.
Mm-hmm. And there's this new word that you talk that has been created, this farming,
exactly.
P-H-A-R-M-I-N-G. Explain.
So it's basically the attempt to genetically engineer plants and animals with the express purpose of extracting novel pharmaceutical products, pharmaceuticals, organs, from the resulting tissues, fluids, and organs. So, for example, there's a farm right outside Reno that today it's sponsored by the University of Nevada, Reno, that has sheep that are growing partially human hearts, livers, organs, brains.
But wait a minute, Michael. We are all losing our minds here. Well, not we all, but a lot of folks are losing their minds here in the United States with stem cell research. The first veto of his presidency, George Bush vetoed the stem cell legislation that came in front of him. And you're telling me that, I mean, should we be looking over there, or should we be looking at the place you're talking about?
I mean, I think that they're all related, and that's one of the things that is amazing about genetic science, is that all of these technologies are converging. So you know, what they're hoping to do one day is say, you know, you have heart disease and you need a new heart. So what they'll do is they'll take stem cells. If you were born, you have stem cells in your placenta. They're hoping to take those stem cells and basically put it inside the pig, bring the pig to maturity, and then transplant that heart from that pig into you. And that sounds great. I mean, you could have a heart. This is something that could extend human life. And so these are ethical questions we can ask, whether we should do this, what we should do with stem cells. But what I'm really trying to point out is that all this is being done in the name of a more productive agriculture, and it's being done with mm-hmm. funds that are dedicated to farming and agriculture and improving yields. But ultimately, it's just being hijacked to improve the profits of pharmaceutical companies who are not in pursuit of more food and feeding people and providing medicines for people in the developing world. And it's just really, it's just a guise. It's just a publicity.
It's a sleight of hand. They want you to look over here when they're really working over there.
Exactly.
And I want to go back to these pigs that are growing parts of human hearts. Talk to us about that.
Yes, so they have a couple laboratories that have basically developed what are dwarf pigs. And so they're tiny pigs, and the reason that they made them smaller is so that the heart that they grow is more similar to a human heart. And right now in the United States, on a regular basis, people have, if they have heart valve problems, they get a heart valve from a pig implanted. And so a pig is a strange and unique animal in the sense that it actually shares a very similar physiology to humans. And so basically they thought of the pig as being a very promising candidate to be genetically engineered to produce human organs.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically there are trials underway. You can see pictures. If you go to my paper, you can find the BBC article that references this. And they've got tiny pigs growing partially human hearts. And the idea is that one day you'll be able to pluck it out of the pig and put it inside your body.
Now, how is that legal?
What was the most famous case was Baby Faye, right? In the 1980s, Baby with a Baboon in the Heart. It became a Paul Simon song.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these are things that are ethically troubling and things that are debated. And in fact, way back in the 1980s, when they did do the baboon transplant, there was a lot of talk about how this doctor was doing it basically to you know, launch his own career, so to speak. So these are things that are debated, and it happens, you know, every few years there are these kind of animal-to-human transplants, and probably more frequently they're just not publicized.
But how is it possible with the content of the discussion that we're having about stem cell research and the Frankensteinistic flavor that the stem cell research has, how is it that there could be pigs out there that are growing partial human hearts without the same type of outcry?
Yeah, it is absolutely crazy. I think it's because they're just not getting the same kind of direct action. They're not getting the same kind of citizen attention that a lot of these other issues are getting. And the laboratories are saying that we're doing everything possible to keep this safe. We don't want to be further regulated. It's going to bog down the progress of science. We're coming up with great inventions that could, you know, revolutionize lifespans, you know. So this is the kind of rhetoric that they spin in order to get kind of a lax regulatory environment for their experiments.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Michael Heinbinder. He's a fellow at the Oakland Institute. He's joining us from Brooklyn, New York. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back to take some of your calls, questions, and comments. Stay with us.
Red Defender, you've got to help us. Mole Man has fired his darkening missile towards the sun. It'll put the world in shadow.
Don't worry. Too late to catch the missile. I'll just fly quickly around the Earth in reverse time.
The Red Defender begins to circle the Earth faster and faster until his momentum literally changes Earth's rotation on its axis.
I'm back, citizens. No need to thank me. Strange. It's dark in the middle of the afternoon. And where is everyone? You, old man, with a flashlight.
I was young just a minute ago.
I must have gone the wrong way and sped up time. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. To find out more, go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Running out of ink? Office Depot has over 500 ink and toner products in stock at unbelievable prices. And you can save even more when you buy Office Depot brand versus national brands. Plus, our WorkLife Rewards members earn 10% back on Office Depot brand ink and toner purchases. Don't risk running out of ink and setting your business back. Let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found.
It's a little thing,
a little thing.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Michael Heimbinder. He's a fellow at the Oakland Institute and is joining us from Brooklyn, New York. We're talking about, basically, it's us versus them, communities versus pharmaceutical conglomerates. And let me get to some of the callers that we have here. Rick, you have a question for my guest, Michael Heimbinder.
Yeah, hi, Liz. You know what? They keep talking about these V's all over the country are disappearing. Wouldn't it be ironic if this genetically altered crops that they're they say is going to cause, you know, make more food for us? Wouldn't it be ironic if it was the cause of the bees disappearing, and in the long run, it would make less food for us because the bees have all disappeared?
Not funny, haha.
No, but it sure would be ironic.
Yes, it would. Thank you, Rick. Michael.
I've been reading these stories myself, and right when the story first broke, it was in relation to cell phones, and then in a subsequent story, the people who actually conducted the experiment said, you know, that's not really the appropriate conclusion to draw. It was about magnetic fields, and they weren't even related to cell phones. And they said what you should really be looking at, perhaps, one of the people quoted in one of the articles that I read, herbicides, pesticides, and genetically engineered crops. And that's exactly right. We don't need to be go looking far or you know, stretching the limits of our imagination to think that these enormous doses of pesticides and herbicides we spray in this country might be having some effect. And the fact that we have what's called BT corn growing in this country, and BT corn is a genetically engineered crop that basically has pesticide in every cell of the plant. Right? And so one of the things that people were initially concerned about was
what is that corn used for, Michael? What on earth can that corn that has pesticide in every cell of its makeup, what on earth could that be used for?
It's used as a replacement for chemical pesticides. And that's what's interesting about the products that are actually on the market today is they're not yield enhancing. They're actually replacements for herbicides and pesticides. So basically, they say if any of these insects chomp on this corn, they'll die, you know? And the thing is that it's expressed in every cell of the plant, right? So it's in the pollen. And so initially people were concerned, and people still are, that the pollen sprays off because corn pollen can travel literally hundreds of miles, and it goes off onto the milkweed in neighboring fields, and people were afraid of the effects on monarch butterflies. And now are we seeing effects on bees? These use pollen to create, you know, to create honey. So it doesn't seem to be a stretch to me, and I think it's something that really needs to be investigated further.
I'm just trying to just wrap my mind around the idea that somebody said, okay, we're going to create a plant that creates pollen, and that plant is poison to every living thing out there. I can't wrap my head around that was given a green light.
Yeah.
Somebody said two thumbs up to that.
Yeah, we're eating it. I mean, literally, you're eating those toxins that are in that corn when you consume your tortilla chips or something like that.
Let me get to another caller. Christine, you have a question for my guest, Michael Heimbinder.
Yes. Your previous caller kind of hit on when I was talking about the bees. But I'd like to add to that, that you made the statement, them versus us. Now, Einstein, I was reported as him saying that when the bees disappear, we have about 4 years left on this earth for humans because the bees pollinate about from one-third to two-thirds of all the food we eat. So that's what I wanted to say. It is them versus us because when the bees go, we're going to go right behind them. Thank you.
And Michael.
I think it points out a good point, and that's that when you look at the farm, it's not a factory. It's an ecosystem, and because it's an ecosystem, there's relationships between everything on the farm and creatures off the farm and humans who eat the food, you know, thousands of miles away. So these are integrated ecosystems, and you can't change one thing without affecting everything else.
And it doesn't take rocket science or a degree in agriculture to understand that.
No, absolutely not. But the sad thing is that what we've seen in the United States is that farms have turned into factories. And so there's this constant push to make everything uniform, to make it move according to a production schedule that you'd see in a factory.
But if we talk about the money that's available to a Monsanto for having a seed that doesn't regerminate, that having a seed that somebody has to go back and buy a seed every year, a farmer has to go back, there's a lot of money in going to, let's say, and Zimbabwe, the president of Zimbabwe, President Mugabe has talked about this, the president of Sudan, lots of folks on the continent of Africa have said, we don't want you all coming here to do this because you will again you will enslave us to having to buy from you every single year and buy from you forever.
Yeah, and Zimbabwe is an interesting case because they actually rejected food
aid
from the United States.
Yes, they did.
Because it was genetically engineered, and they're concerned not only in terms of encroaching on their agriculture and their farmers, but also that if their crops get contaminated, the European Union is not going to want those crops.
But that's not the story that was told in this country about that far-sighted rejection. It was told from the perspective of, you know, crazy President Mugabe
just
not taking food here. But, you know, isn't it the best decision that the rest of your food can't be sold anywhere else if we take yours? And why would we take yours?
Yeah, and that's one of the saddest things about U.S. agriculture is how we dump food on the developing world in the name of helping people in Africa, you know, helping starving people. But the fact of the matter is that these crops are dumped on the market as a subsidy to U.S. farmers, and then they undersell local farmers in those markets. So you're not, if you really wanted to help those people, you'd buy food from those markets. So if there's a famine in one region of the Sudan, you'd go to another region of the Sudan or a neighboring country and buy crops and bring them in.
There you go.
Because then you bring up the people of that region.
There you go. Let me get to another caller or two. Al, you have a question or comment from, I guess, Michael Heimbinder.
I got a question for him. Good morning, Mr. Isbrown.
Good morning.
Michael, would you compare farming and the contamination of the crops in the United States? Make the comparison between them and the gun lobby. Because I think my friend we get lost in looking at the gun lobby and not at FDA and the farming community. Thank you.
There's always issues with the lobbies in the United States, it's an annual issue, this idea of campaign contribution limits, and it's something that we need to revisit again and again until it happens, because just as the gun lobby has enormous power in this country, so does the pharmaceutical lobby have a huge weight in this country, and the result has been almost no regulation of genetically engineered crops. So where we are right now is supposedly these foods are substantially equivalent. This is the language, substantially equivalent. You're telling me that a genetically engineered corn plant is substantially equivalent to a variety that we've been growing for centuries? I don't think so.
And then don't we also have to talk about not only the creation of these pharmaceutically created corn crops, but the elimination of strains of corn that have been around, like you said, for hundreds of years. Pretty soon we won't be able to compare them because they will be absorbed and or eliminated as a result of this.
That's a really good point to bring up because Mexico, which is the birthplace of corn, all corn grown anywhere in the world originally came from Mexico. Mexico has a ban on genetically engineered corn. But what have we found? We found genetically engineered corn in wild varieties in Mexico. And so this is the birthplace, meaning that when we need to develop a new variety, we go back to Mexico, we catalog these seeds, and we incorporate the positive breeding characteristics of these corn plants from Mexico into the varieties that we grow all over the world. And so what we've essentially done is contaminate this base crop. This is where everything in the future will come from. We've contaminated it.
And, Michael, how on earth do you fix this? Can it be fixed?
I think it can be fixed. I think that one of the big things that are pushing it, and as I mentioned in my paper, is that demand and supply for these crops are basically, the demand is pumped up by subsidies that are given to farmers, right? So, you know, if I'm being given, I can afford to spend more on my corn seed because of the fact that the government is paying me for the difference between the low price that I receive on the market and my high cost of production. right? And if, so if you change the way that subsidies are given to farmers in the United States, if you use them to encourage a kind of environmentally friendly farming, then you'll see a very different farm structure. You'll see that, that the demand for GE crops is not as enormous as it appears, because really the only place they're growing this in large numbers is places like the United States. They're growing them also in Brazil, Canada, but it's really being grown on a large scale in the U.S. because of the scale of the subsidies. It's literally tens of billions of dollars over the course of just a single year.
Let me get to another caller or two. Portia, you have a question for my guest, Michael Heimbinder.
I was waiting for someone else to mention it, but they didn't, so I'm going to mention it. Remember the movie Soylent Green?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, I mean, truth is stranger than fiction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, you know, it's been this way for a long time. It's always about the book, you know. It's always about making money, and they make money over the welfare of the people. That's always been the case. From the government to any department you go to, it's always about somebody's got to make a dollar. The shareholders, okay?
All right. Thanks for your call and comment. Michael, how financially powerful is the pharmaceutical industry? What kind of money do they represent?
Well, let's see. I think they took in $550 billion, somewhere around there, $550, $600 billion a year. So it's enormous. I mean, it's even more enormous than what the budget is for defense, right? The budget for defense is like $400 or $500 billion. So it's a global market that's absolutely astronomical, and they have huge money, and you know, and we're subsidizing them also. Like, why is it that the government has failed to put caps on how Medicare and Medicaid can spend for? Can spend for these you know, fancy designer drugs. So, and we're not seeing that necessarily the drugs that are coming out of these laboratories are any better than what came before. They've just been kind of marketed that way.
Mm-hmm. And 1-877-920-WGNU. The website is lizbrown.com, lizbrown.com. I'm talking to Michael Heimbinder. He's a fellow at the Oakland Institute. He's joining us from Brooklyn, New York. Stay with us.
Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Today, many advances in technology have benefited the field of criminal justice, and new jobs are emerging. How can you get involved? The ITT Tech School of Criminal Justice. With a degree in criminal justice, you can pursue various career opportunities involving corrections, workplace security, and private investigations. Call now for an ITT Tech brochure. 800-ITT-3169. That's 800-ITT-3169. Not offered at every campus. Check the ITT Tech for a list of programs offered.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big-boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m. The monkey pulled the throttle,
locomotive jumped the gun and did not... Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with Michael Heimbinder. He's a fellow at the Oakland Institute in Brooklyn, New York, and we're talking about how food has become a casualty of biotechnology's promise. And, Michael, can you talk to us about the numbers of medicines that are in the hopper, if you will, that they're working on right now?
Basically, in every state in the United States, almost every state in the United States, I shouldn't say every because it's not every state, they're growing pharmaceutical crops. And we don't know as to what kind of experiments they're doing on animals in terms of creating new pharmaceutical products or human organs, because that information is all kept confidential to the FDA. But it's basically thousands and thousands of animals at this point in time have been genetically engineered. We know that just by the when there's a mistake, like I said, with the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, you find out about these things because they have to be made public. So it's happening across the country, and none of these medicines I should mention have actually been released onto the market yet. But if you're looking to understand the history of this, the first genetically engineered pharmaceutical product was human insulin, right? Insulin is given to people with diabetes, mm-hmm. and that was a product of an E. coli bacteria. E. coli is the thing you hear about every few years because people get food poisoning from E. coli. And what they did is they genetically engineered this bacteria, and they put it inside of a big metal vat called a bioreactor, and then they basically extract the insulin after it's done eating whatever its food medium is. And so now on the market presently, we have about 30 protein-based medicines on the market and that are all the result of splicing human genetic instructions into single-cell organisms like E. coli, or another popular one is hamster ovary cells.
Mm.
And so what they're attempting to do is move it from single cells to plants and animals because they can produce more complex proteins. And they can also produce someday, they're hoping, an entire human organ, which obviously you can't do inside of a single-cell organism.
A lot of people would listen to this story and poo-poo it because they feel or they understand that the government that we have right now has all kinds of safeguards in it, the FDA, the CDC, all of these institutions or entities in place to protect us from, and also protects us from any harm. And also there's the belief that before these drugs ever get to us, there have been years and years and years and years and years of testing so that they are safe when they come to us.
Yeah, and now we know that's not true because of all these medicines recently that have been recalled from the market because of the fact that they were increasing people's chances of disease.
And also, don't we have to add that to the change in the law, this creation of fast-tracking drugs now? It didn't used to be like this, that you couldn't get drugs to market at the pace that they're getting drugs to market now because the law has been changed.
Exactly. And there's a real struggle in the pharmaceutical industry because it costs so much to develop these drugs, and they could spend all this money, and then ultimately it might not get approval, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pushing hard to get this kind of fast-track push through. Because they're trying to bring drugs to market faster and cheaper.
And don't the pharmaceuticals do the same thing that McDonald's did? McDonald's knew how hot its coffee was. McDonald's knew that its coffee would cause third-degree burns if it landed on people. And I forget what car it was. Was it the Pinto that they also factored into? Well, the cost, yeah, people are going to die in this car if they get a crash, but we're going to factor that cost into this. And once we crunch the numbers, we figure out that it outweighs that. So the pharmaceutical companies, what do you think? Is it possible that they have factored in the cost of getting caught when the drug doesn't work or doesn't do what it's supposed to into the billions of dollars that they make on the front use of that drug?
I'm sure. There's always that question of what is our liability, and when it comes out that they've suppressed some scientific study that proved that there were real health risks involved with their pharmaceutical or their new chemical, it always comes out that way. I mean, historically, it's always been the case that when one of these companies finally gets busted, there's always internal documents relating to the fact that they were aware of the risk, before they decided to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they say it's a voluntary recall. It wasn't a voluntary recall until the people started putting fire under their butts.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And so in terms of where are some things that people can be looking to and involving themselves in to address this?
Well, if you live in California, I know you're broadcasting from St. Louis, but there's a bill, AB 541, which basically is attempting to place a moratorium on the growing of genetically engineered crops in California. There are counties in California that have already done this. Some of them actually were overturned, despite the fact that the people in those counties voted for these initiatives.
How were they overturned?
They were said to be illegal. You know, it was a fight between different legislative districts, so, you know, between counties and states and between states and federal government. So, you know, this is what happens.
And so other places besides California that people can be looking to or try to weigh in on?
Also, it's happening in Maine. But I really think that what the reason I'm on your program, the reason I wrote the paper, is that there isn't any federal legislation in place to up the regulation of these crops, to really do a thorough job and say, and take into account the precautionary principle, right? This is something that's discussed a lot frequently, and it's something that the European Union does and the U.S. does not, which is to say, we don't release these things and then find out later whether they're safe or not. We find out first whether they're safe, and then we release them if we deem them to be safe, right? This seems like the logical way to proceed, but that's not what's happening in the United States. It's released unless you can prove right then and there that it will be a problem for the environment or human health, and they can release it. But the problem is, you don't know whether it's going to be a problem because you have to do long-term studies. We don't know what happens when you eat this stuff for 10, 20 years. You know, we don't know what happens over the long term in the environment. Are these bees actually related to genetically engineered crops? I'm not saying they are, but they could be, and we don't know.
And the other piece of this is the influence of the pharmaceutical industry. How much money, because they need, these pharmaceutical companies need it to be as open as this. They need not have any legislation to slow their role. How much money are these pharmaceuticals giving to politicians, politics, and in this process?
Big bucks. I mean, Pfizer, which owns Monsanto, which I said before, is one of the largest corporations in the United States. So they have a big budget. They can spend a lot of money lobbying Congress, and they've
and
been
they
enormously
do.
Successful.
And they do.
Yep.
So the thought is to tell folks to ask for this legislation. Are we seeing legislators that are as alarmed about this as they should be?
I don't think so. I mean, I of course, there's a lot of legislators in Washington, and I'm sure some of them are more keyed in than others. But I think that everybody just needs to get on the horn and talk to their congresspeople and say that this is something that concerns them, that they want things like labeling in grocery stores. You know, so someplace like Trader Joe's, I don't know if you have Trader Joe's in St. Louis.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and so they do some labeling of genetically engineered foods. But it shouldn't be the initiative of an individual company. It should be a requirement of the U.S. government that these are something that are different than what we've seen before. They have potential health risks, and so they should be labeled, and the consumer should have the choice whether they want to eat genetically engineered crops or not.
And we don't. And haven't they done the surveys that if Americans had the choice, or would they buy food that was labeled genetically altered, we wouldn't buy it.
Exactly. And that's why they don't want it to be labeled.
And so, again, people need to be pursuing their legislators and telling them what?
Telling them that I'm concerned about genetically engineered crops. I want labels on food. I want stricter regulation from the USDA and from the FDA of new genetically engineered crops. And I don't want these crops being grown in open fields, these pharmaceutical crops being grown in open fields. They're just too dangerous. The risks of having a pharmaceutical crop like corn, where the pollen can travel hundreds of miles, grown in an open field, the risk of cross-pollination is very, very high. And we've already seen it with conventional crops that have been contaminated by GE crops. So an organic farmer will have his crops contaminated by GE corn. So this is something that we know happens, and it's crazy to think that we're being subject to this experiment and that this could really be a public health fiasco.
Michael Heimbinder, fellow at Oakland Institute in Brooklyn, joining us from Brooklyn today. Where can people go to your and see your article?
It's Oakland Institute, oneword.org, and Oakland Institute's over in Oakland, as the name says. And Anuradha Mittal is the executive director and has been doing fabulous work on food rights issues for over two decades now.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call.
Yeah, thank you, Liz.
Take care now.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
454-0400 is the phone number. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Wow, we have a lot of stuff going to come towards you tomorrow. I just want to remind you of what our journey today. We went to Philadelphia this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. We joined station AM 900 this morning and did a simulcast about what's going on here, what's going on there. We talked to the executive director of the National Conference of Black Mayors about a conference that's coming up, actually, where presidential candidates are going to be joining them in Baton Rouge, on May 2nd through the 7th, and we ended it all with genetic engineering. There's a lot of stuff that goes on the Wake Up Call, and you don't want to miss a moment of it. If you want to go listen to another hour again, go to whiterosesociety.org. My name is Liz Brown. Thank you so much for listening, and until tomorrow, stay strong.
For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you sustain?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU.